Blog Talk Radio.
Than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football.
So old timers, do you remember the names like Bronco Nagurski and Night Train Lane, Bulldog Turner, my man Sam Huff? In the snow and the mud, they were still real tough. Crazy Legs Hurst, and remember Raymond Berry asked me if they hit hard, and I'll say Ferry, Paul, Christian, Buddy, Young Lenny Moore. Is them my dog? They seem to always score. Ed Sprinkle, defensive end for those years. Gene Big Daddy Liston was the man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny Unitas had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Which I could quarterback like Johnny Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the galloping ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Why ain't Tittle, Ally Madison? Hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sort of thing better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows, weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Yeah, buddy. How's everybody? We're a hot new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the best and brightest and boldest in the world of football, college, and NFL. We bring you raw, uncut, unedited, and completely biased opinions on everything. I'm your boy, Cali Mike. With me today, I got my boy, Chi-Town Mike. Chi-Town, what's going on?
What's going on, Cali Mike? Chilling. Getting my headset. Hey, just hanging in there, man. The first weekend of college football, a recap, and the NFL, baby. Starts tomorrow. Let's get it. Football's back.
It is that time, man. It comes quick, man. It just feels like, you know, it feels like we're watching the Super Bowl and the National Championship, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Now we're already in the beginning of a new season. I'm ready for it. Let's keep things cracking here. The first thing I want to get on is, ooh, hold on one. Okay, sorry about that. Let's get things off and cracking. I want to start talking about college football. Last week was the first week of college football. We had a couple of big games. Did you get to catch any games? Mike, which game stood out to you?
Well, Alabama game was pretty good. I put on a message on our CMT Firestorm Facebook page. You know, I was kind of impressed with Sims. I think he looked the par where I think skill-wise, I think he's better than, what's Alabama's last quarterback? A.J. McCarron. So, you know, he has the par, up the par of it. I was impressed with that.
What's his name, Sims? You think he's better than McCarron?
I think he has the skills. If he puts it all together, he has the skill-wise ability.
That's possible.
You know, he's mobile. He has a nice arm. I mean, I think he has the ability, but still to put it together. But I know it's premature to say that, but I'm saying, but he has the skills.
Mm-hmm. That's possible. I mean, you know, he's a you know, he's kind of a guy. Think about McCarron, though. He can't take, you know, he's a proven winner.
Mm-hmm. But also, too, like I was saying, everybody, Texas A&M, man. Texas A&M, too. Another team, like I was saying, I was like, man, they're a team right there. And because of that win, they're in the top 10 in the poll. Even though the poll ain't nothing yet, but still, hey, he moved up.
Mm-hmm. You know, the thing about the West Virginia game is, like I said, you know, I told people I had Alabama on upset watch, and I wasn't just saying it, you know, trying to be a hater or anything, but, you know, like I said, I saw chinks in their armor. I mean, they, you know, teams can reload, but, you know, nothing beats experience, you know. And if I'd rather, you know, like I say, I mean, you know, especially when you're getting rid of experienced guys like McCarron, you know, who's been your quarterback for the past 4 years, you know, starting QB for the past 4 years. So it's hard to get rid of those kind of guys, you know. T.J. Yeldon, he had a decent game.
Truthfully, it didn't wow me because, you know, West Virginia, not like they got the toughest defense. The thing I look at
is that quarterback, Clint Frickett, for West Virginia, not really the best quarterback in the world, but he kind of carved them up. Like I said, I think if this would have been a little bit better team, I think they could have took Bama. You know, they're, like I say, he threw for almost 370 yards. I think he threw like 360-something, you know, and a touchdown with no pick. So, what is that?
That West Virginia game was pretty good, man. One for some drops, you know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. I think if it were a better team, I think them would have lost. You know, I mean, this is, you know,
possibly,
like I
yeah.
said, I'm just, yeah, you know, just looking from what I'm looking at. I mean, you know, you got to figure when they get into their schedule and they start playing, you know, teams like Georgia or whoever else, you know, they might, I'm looking at the schedule. Oh, wow, they don't part Georgia this year. They do have Texas A&M, LSU, and Auburn. So, you know, I mean, those are, you know, and Ole Miss. You know, those are potentially three games they could lose. So, you know, you never know. And, you know, UF is unranked, but, you know, we don't know what they're going to look like this season, but we know that they have talent. So, you know, who knows? Maybe we're seeing the chink in Alabama's armor. Maybe this is the year that they lose four games, even though that's not going to be a bad season. It'll be a bad Bama season. But, you know, not a bad, you know, regular team season.
Yeah.
What about the FSU game? What did you think of it from that?
That FSU game had some excitement to it. It had some excitement to that game, though, I say that.
You think they're
going to
be the same FSU team as they were last year?
Are you talking about being undefeated?
Yeah.
Tough one. It's going to be hard. I don't know if we're going to have an undefeated team this year. That's what I was saying. The playoffs came a good time because I don't know if the team's going to go undefeated this year.
Okay. Let me go ahead
so
and
hard, you know.
We got a go ahead and add somebody else to our panel here. It's from 813. What's going on?
What's up, people?
We got the original Tennessee Volunteer.
Oh, wow.
Wildly on the phone with us, everybody.
Here we go.
What's going on?
What's up, fellas? What's up? You know, I swear we've been doing this for years, and I can't get over that introduction.
That's your state. You're a volunteer. You're a Vol. You're anybody goes on Tony's Facebook, he's repping his old high school team right now. What are they, the such and such Rebels? You know, that's how them Tennessee
okay, that's, students. That's my high school team, but I ain't repping the Vols.
Only at the Vols win the championship, right?
No, even if they win the championship, I'm a Gator for life.
Gator for life.
Now tell me something, Mike. Why are you hating on Alabama right now? All I hear out of your mouth is, well, they really didn't look so good, and you know what? I think their booty stink, and you know what?
They
I don't think they're going to win a game, and what's up,
they
dude?
I mean, okay, compared to previous, you know, versions of Alabama, did they look like the same Bama to you?
It's the first game of the year. They're retooling.
Well, the thing is, like, that's why I said it's hard to retool when you're losing a four-year starter. People think
okay,
that that's easy.
Okay, but when
it's
you
not.
Retool, it might take a couple of, you know, it's just like taking an engine out of a car. You can put every single part of that engine back into the car, but when you crank it up the first time, it might be a little hard to start. But once that oil gets in it, once everything starts clicking together, that car gonna go down the road running like it's brand new. Yeah, the first couple of games, thank God it's not hard teams. They'll make it through this little rough patch, and then they'll be right back to Alabama football.
The thing is, you know, yeah, that's true what you said. It is just the first game. But, you know, when you look at things,
if we include last season, Bama's on a three-game losing streak. They played three bad games in a row. You know, so, you know, so like I said, I mean,
I disagree. That game against Auburn was not a bad game. Matter of fact, they should have won that game. They just let their guard down at a wrong moment.
Yeah, when you let your guard down, that's a bad game.
And especially
no,
the rival,
no.
So many, you already know rival games are never pretty, and that was a rival game.
Well, and they let their guard down. Everybody thought that when he missed that field goal, they were just going into overtime. Everybody's mindset was, okay, let's do overtime. They turned around, and that dude was running down the field. They're like, oh, shit, what happened? Next thing you know, game over. They let their guard down.
Let's look at the other aspects of that game, though. They played a game in which a quarterback only completed 97 yards, and they still lost.
Because it was a defensive game. It was a defensive
hard-nosed football game. Trey Mason ran 464 yards. Nick Marshall ran for 99 yards.
It was a hard-fought ground game. That's what you get when you have a battle between in-state rivals.
But that's not Bama's strength, though. Bama's strength is their ability to stop the run. You know, their strength is their pounding defense.
Okay,
but
Auburn's strength was their running game. That was Auburn's strength. So it was strength against strength. And, you know, they battled it out for time.
Isn't that even more reason for them to load up 7 or 8 men in the box?
It doesn't matter. What I'm saying is they battled their strengths to a tie. Alabama's defense, Auburn's offense, and they battled to a tie. They tried to win it with one kick at the last second. They missed the kick, thought they were going into overtime, looked back up, dude ran out of the end zone. It was too late. You can't push people back out on the field.
Then they came in the next game against Oklahoma and put up a complete goose egg and got their ass.
They were depleted. They were depleted and defeated then.
I don't play those depleted games. Now come on. Their game against Auburn was in November. They had a whole month to get ready for that game against Oklahoma.
Their season was over. In their mind, not only were they not going to play for the national championship, they lost their state championship already. They lost everything. They lost the SEC championship. They lost their state championship. And they lost a chance at the national championship. Nothing else mattered. That bowl game meant nothing to them. They had already lost everything that meant anything to them.
Charles.
If that's the case, Nick, if that's the case, Nick Saban needs to lose his job. If he can't get his team motivated to play every game at 100%, he's no kind of coach.
I just say it took the heart. So, but hey, I mean, you got to, you know, I mean, still get Oklahoma credit. They beat their butt, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, hey, they had to take the heart of moving like that. So the way they lost and fall on the marbles like that, man.
Well, no, like you know,
that one play.
Like I said, Mike, and like, you know, and like Bob Stoops says, when Alabama came out in that game and scored quick, everybody started saying, oh, it's just going to be a normal Alabama blowout. And everybody started talking to SEC crap and this and that, and Oklahoma was over. Then once Oklahoma started putting them on them, now all of a sudden Alabama don't want to play. So, you know, all those excuses can be saved. Nobody was saying that when the game first started.
But you got to add in the human element to anything when you're dealing with humans. When you're dealing with individuals, when you're dealing with teams, when you're dealing with people, you have to add in the human element. And to Alabama,
they had went two whole years undefeated. That's true, but that can be applied to everything, though, not just when Alabama loses.
Okay, but listen to me. They had went two whole years undefeated, not lost a single game. Not only had they gone 2 years undefeated, this game was their biggest rivalry game of the year, their in-state rival, Auburn. Then it was also for the SEC West Championship, and it was also for going to the national championship. And to lose that one game destroyed their year. As much as it was a big deal for Oklahoma to be playing Alabama, Alabama didn't want to be playing Oklahoma. Alabama wanted to be playing Florida State. So for them, it wasn't a big deal to be in that game with Oklahoma.
Like I said, it was, you know, the game was a big, like, it might have been the biggest Iron Bowl ever because it was for the national, sort of, see who's going to go to the national championship, win the SEC, everything all wrapped up in one. But, like I said, in the beginning of that game, when Alabama came out and scored in the first minute, nobody was saying Alabama doesn't want to play this game or this and that.
You're talking about people that don't go to Alabama, and you're talking about people that aren't SEC people.
Sports analysts, when
Alabama lost to Auburn, they had nothing else in that year to play for. Nothing else. No matter how much it was a big game to Oklahoma, it was nothing to Alabama. Why? Because unless it was the national championship, Oklahoma is nobody. That game meant nothing to Alabama.
Nobody just whooped their ass.
Again, that game meant nothing to Alabama. They had nothing
to
lose because they already lost
their ass. They got their asses whooped.
And you think that bothered them? It didn't bother them?
Hell yes. Yes, apparently it did. If Nick Saban came out talking trash about it a year later, yes. Yes, it did.
Wow. All right, well, like I said, because you're not an SEC fan and because you don't understand the SEC because you're from out west, you don't understand that the passion is in the program and in the rivals. They lost to their biggest rival. They lost their division. They lost their conference, and they lost their national championship. A game in the middle of the country against the middle of the country team meant absolutely nothing to them. The game that meant something to them, they had already lost. And that's just the bottom line. You don't agree, Chantel?
Valid point.
Okay, so are they going to do that when they get to the NFL? Maybe that's why SEC players don't do so well. Maybe they need to learn that they need to come play every game. I don't know. Maybe that's just me.
Well, I mean, you can say what you want to say, but the one difference between the NFL and the SEC is chemistry, team chemistry. In the NFL, you have a bunch of individuals that are great players, and some of those great players come together as a team and they build good teams. Those are your Seattles on defense that have come together. but mainly what you have is 11 stars on a team that you want to just play their position and be the best at their position. In the SEC, there's no such thing as an individual. Every single team in college, in the SEC is taught you are here as a teammate. You are not here as an individual star. Clowney was not an individual star at South Carolina. Manziel was not an individual star at Texas A&M. In the South, we don't do individual stars. You might be a great player, but you are a great player on a team.
We'll see if the season goes on. What about the FSU game? Not, you know, you don't use the same excuse for FSU. They really want that game.
Yeah. I seen your response, Tony. And I saw our boy. I know Tony was heated.
Well,
Wiley.
FSU sucks, first and foremost.
Okay, now hold on. Now wait a minute. Now before you even continue, why does FSU suck but Bama doesn't suck?
Let me finish. I thought you said you were going to let me finish.
Okay, go ahead. I just want to bring up the hypocrisy, but go ahead.
Let me get out this hate first, and then you can ask me all the questions.
Go ahead.
All right. FSU sucks, Clausell Mathis. Absolutely sucks. And I am a Florida Gator, so you know I think FSU sucks. But our little sisters blow. Anyway. The point is, Jameis Winston, I've been saying this since last year in the second or third game. Every time I've watched Jameis Winston since he started at FSU, all I've seen was him throw these little piece-of-shit dump passes for 3 and 4 yards, and then the receivers run 80 yards, and then all of a sudden, Clausell jumps over here talking about, did you see that 85-yard pass? Nigga, please. That was a 3-yard pass and an 82-yard run. That wasn't no 85-yard pass. And that's exactly what I saw all year last year. I kept saying, y'all don't remember on this show, it was a show at the beginning of the year where I was saying, He has like 6 interceptions already, and it was the 4th game in the year. I'm like, the man is not doing it. It is his receivers doing it. If it wasn't for those big receivers he got, he would be an average quarterback. He's already thrown all these interceptions. And then he comes out in the first game of this year and does the exact same crap. Jameis Winston is average at best. If it wasn't for his receivers, he would be 0 because he runs like he's got duck feet.
So the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, reigning national championship winner,
and an average quarterback.
He is an average quarterback. I've said it a million times, he inherited a national championship team. Yeah, he took them over the top, but he inherited that team. And now that that team has moved on to the pros, they will lose 3 games this year. They will lose 3 games this year. And the only reason they won't lose 3 games this year is because they play a bunch of cupcakes. Their schedule is loaded with nobodies.
So, Tony.
That's the only thing that's saving them this year.
So, Tony, based on what you've seen on Saturday, you think FSU comes and beats Florida in Tallahassee? Or you like your Gators? You know, it's a long way away.
I'm always going to pull for the Gators, but it ain't going to be easy to beat Florida State in Dope Campbell. That's just not something that's an easy thing to do. I mean, this rivalry has been going on since Florida State went from being a women's college to being a men's college, and you know, they still got a little sweetness in them as far as we're concerned, but you know, they do pretty good at home. And
you just
say
the same thing about the Gators too. They're pretty good in the swamp.
Exactly, they are. But look at their schedule. Let me list Florida State's schedule to you. Their next game is against the Citadel. Then they play Clemson, who we already see got that ass whooped by Georgia. Then they play NC State.
Slash on boys, man. I watched that game last night, the replay of it on ESPNU. I mean, it was wonderful.
God bless.
That game just got out of control, man. And Georgia, boy.
And then they play NC State. Then they play Wake Forest. Then they play Syracuse. Then they play Notre Dame. Then they play Louisville. Then they play Virginia. Then they play Miami, Boston College, and Florida. Now, out of them 12 games, I hear three games that might even be worth watching. They play Notre Dame. They play Louisville at Louisville. And they play Florida. Other than that, it's a cupcake. It's a walkthrough. They don't have any challenge. Tell me where Clemson, North Carolina State, Wake Forest, Syracuse, Virginia, and y'all saw Miami the other night. Come on now.
I missed the game. I missed Miami. I didn't get a chance to see Miami.
Tony, I want to ask you a question. I was just looking at the Gator schedule real quick. I don't want to break the subject, but why was you guys' game against Idaho canceled?
Thunder, lightning.
Was it in Florida
or in Idaho?
It was in Florida.
Are you?
Yeah, I remember them talking
rescheduled?
About it.
No, it's not going to get rescheduled. They wrote it off as a. I can't remember what they called it, something. But no, it's not going to get rescheduled because Idaho said they didn't want to use their week off to replay that game, and Florida said they didn't want to use their week off.
I'm looking at y'all schedule, man. Y'all got Bama, LSU, Missouri,
yes.
Georgia. Y'all might have five or six losses this year.
Hey, we got a tough schedule, but you can't look at FSU's schedule and say it's tough. You cannot look at FSU. There, like I said, there may be three games, period, in their entire top-to-bottom schedule that they even have to think about. Notre Dame at Florida State, Louisville at Louisville, and Florida coming in at the end of the year. Other than that, they're going to walk through these cupcakes.
But other than that, though, you know, Florida State and Miami plays, that's always a rivalry, so that's going to be a battle regardless.
No. Did you see the Miami-Louisville game? You obviously didn't see the Miami-Louisville game.
I don't mind. It's a rivalry game. A rival game is going to be like a championship game atmosphere, so you never know in those type of games.
Shut down. You obviously didn't see the Louisville-Miami game.
I didn't
blasted Miami. Do you hear me? I mean, they blasted them. Louisville blasted Miami.
Louisville's no cupcake now. You know they lost Charlie Strong. I mean, some of them recruits though he brought there, they're still there. So, you know, hey, they're a good
Miami looked like they were a high school team. Louisville beat them.
Yeah, I'm looking at Miami's ranking. They're 94th in the country in passing, 109th in rushing, 107th in scoring, and 85th in defense. They're not looking too good this year, man.
I'm telling you, Louisville beat them down. Did y'all not watch that game?
I didn't even pay attention. But they are playing the Rattlers of FAMU this weekend. So maybe that'll be a boost for. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe FAMU might. Shit, if Miami played this bad, maybe FAMU might sneak one on them. I don't know. I'm going with my Rattlers, man.
I don't think I've ever seen Miami look as bad as they looked against Louisville the other night.
Yeah,
It was bad.
That might be the truth. I can't deny it. That might be. And like I say, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've ever seen a Miami team this bad.
It was bad. I mean, defense, special teams, everything. It was bad.
Yeah.
It was just bad.
It's going to be a long – I think Al Golden's going to be gone after this year. It's going to be a long season for them. Maybe they might make a play for Kevin Sumlin. Who knows? You know.
But
it's going to be a long season for them.
I see Louisville beating Florida State. In Louisville, after what I've seen Louisville do to Miami, I see Louisville beating Florida State at Louisville on October the 30th. They can call it Halloween Horror Night because I think they're going to get that ass whooped.
Well, you play on Halloween, Uncle Tony? Halloween Horror Night, they're going to get them.
You heard me say it at the beginning of the week.
Your boy Petrino, he's back in Louisville now. So, you know, when he was there, they were winners, you know.
Yeah.
He sure was. You can't forget about that. Yeah, true on that.
You heard it right here. I predicted it. Halloween Horror Night. Louisville takes down Florida State in Louisville, October the 30th.
Okay, let's change. I want to talk about a different game here. I want to talk about this South Carolina Texas A&M game, and I want to talk about the rising of the college football season. Kenny Trill. What do y'all think about Kenny Trill?
I didn't mean to cut you off, Kelly, Mike, and Tony. I finally see the score. Yep, 31-13, man. Okay.
Oh yeah, they got stopped. what do you think about the? What do you think about this? What do you think about Kenny Trill, Mike?
It was worse than the score tells you. I'm telling you, it was bad.
Now, you know, like I said, you know, me and you, we talked yesterday. Those listeners who weren't listening yesterday on the Cold Hard Truth with the guest host for them. And, you know, me and you, we talked about it.
I like the way Texas A&M looked, but I don't want them to get overranked. They pulled from that one game, they pulled two first-place votes out of from the rankings. Two people voted them as the number one team in the country.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you, Callie. I'm going to be honest with you. And this is just analytic truth. I don't know that Texas is all that good because I never thought that South Carolina was all that good. I keep saying, and I've said over and over, South Carolina is not a top SEC team. No matter how much everybody keeps trying to make them a top SEC team, they are not a top SEC team. They've never won the SEC East. They've never won the SEC Championship. They've never gone to a national championship. They are not a top SEC team. They are not.
I agree, sir. I absolutely agree with you. I think definitely, like I said, we can definitely say South Carolina was overranked. Some of the things I did like I said, Kenny Hill, he did have a spectacular passing game. He passed about 60. You know, he made 60 attempts, which is a lot of passes.
It's now muffled.
I don't think
you're going to see him making 60 pass attempts every game. They really did not have that good of a rushing game. They got some weapons at wide receiver, though. They got Ricky Shields-Jones and Malcolm Kennedy and Speedy Knoll. So, you know, they're going to have some weapons.
A&M.
Yeah, they're going to be a high flying kind of team. I'd say eight or nine wins for them this year. You know, maybe
one down to LSU and Bama.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I don't even know if they play Auburn this year. Do they play Auburn in the West this year?
Yeah, they play this year. This year they play Ole Miss, Bama, Auburn, Missouri, and their last game is against LSU. So.
Oh, yeah, and they going down to all three of them. Auburn, yeah. Alabama, and LSU going to beat them in the West.
Yeah, and they're at Auburn and they're at Auburn and at Alabama too. So that's
And LSU will beat them in Texas.
Yeah, so like you said, that's maybe 9-3, 9-4 this year, which would be a good year, But I just don't want people to get too overexcited about them with this number. Like I said, they pulled two number one rankings in the number one rankings, and that kind of bothered me because they don't look like the number one team in the country to me.
I agree. But, I mean, to me, like you said, South Carolina was way overrated. I don't know if it's because of Clowney. I don't know if it's because of Steve Spurrier. I don't know what the hype is about South Carolina, but they have never deserved it. They have never deserved it. You had Clowney for three years.
Maybe,
he was the number one. Go ahead.
I thought it was you who said that South Carolina was a good team. Maybe that wasn't you. I'll take it back. Maybe it wasn't you, but somebody had said, maybe it was Clausell. Somebody had made an advocate of them being a top team, and I never thought they were top. I think it maybe is because of Spurrier that people try to overrank them, on his reputation, But like you said, to me, they've never stood out. Even when they had Clowney, they weren't that. They were never a top team ever.
Never.
So, that's going on roster. Wins. Like I said, I don't know. They lost their starting quarterback and their best player in Clowney, so I don't know what's going to be up with them this year. But, like I said, I definitely thought they were overrated. I want to talk about my West Coast. I want to switch the sides to the West Coast. I want to talk about my USC Trojan versus Fresno State.
I'm highly excited about the Trojans this year. And I don't want to get too excited because
this is our final year of roster restriction. But it's always good to see your team come out and put up 50 points. And,
okay, who's 50 points up against?
Fresno State.
Come on, dude. You act like they went and put up 50 points against Notre Dame or somebody.
Hold on, Fresno State ain't good.
Fresno State ain't nobody. Who is Fresno
State?
Is Fresno State better than Boise State?
Oh my God! You were just arguing how Boise was not the team that everybody wants Boise would have beat Fresno.
First of all, they beat Boise last year and they went 11-1 last year.
Oh my God!
They were one touchdown away from going undefeated last year.
A bunch of cupcakes, yeah. Easy.
Boise State, who you said is an elite team.
I didn't say elite. I said they were a good NCAA team. They're not elite.
I'm not going to argue that. I'm just going to find it on the tape, and I'm going to play it next week. You said Boise State was an elite football team.
You cannot be elite if you have not ever won a national championship. How can you be elite if you've never won a national championship?
Wow.
You could be a top team if you win your conference every year. That's a top NCAA team. They won their conference every year when they were in the WAC. So that's a top team.
So hold on. Is Georgia an elite football team?
Absolutely. Georgia has won a national championship.
That shit was when that was. You talking about that?
It doesn't matter. They've won one. Notre Dame is an elite team. They've won a national championship. Michigan is an elite team.
They've won a national championship within the past 5 years. When was the last time Georgia's even been the one?
Why? We're not talking in the last 5 years. We're talking in history. We're talking elite teams throughout the history of college football. Once you become elite, you never lose your elite status.
Okay, so UCLA has won a national championship, so they're an elite team still?
No, they were never elite. I mean, elite.
Wait a minute. You just said if you win a national championship,
I'm in here now.
Your history, you're elite.
Oh, damn.
Clausell, please
UCLA
stop
won a national championship.
UCLA ain't win no national championship recently.
We're not talking about recently called. And where did you even come from? When I Tony just said it.
First thing is first. UCLA is not an elite team in football. Maybe basketball, but they're not an elite team in football.
According to Tony Wiley, they are because they've won a national championship.
Well, no, you have to. I mean, you have to win several national championships.
Which year did UCLA win a national championship?
It don't matter. You said as long as the team wins a national championship, they're elite.
Oh my God! I'm talking about in the known era.
And plus, you have more good.
Nobody on here was even born when Georgia won their last national championship. So
Herschel Walker and Georgia won it in the '80s. So what are you talking about?
Not in the eighties. They won it in 1980.
Anyway, what's your point?
That's over 30 years ago.
Okay, that doesn't mean never mind. Can we move on?
Nah, man. If you're an elite team if you're good more years than you're bad. I mean, in a sense, if you're like a top five team the majority of the time. UCLA is a consistent team.
Georgia's
a consistent team. Georgia always has a good team.
No. Hold on. That's not what I said. I said, is Georgia an elite team?
They are either one or two in the SEC East every single year.
Hold on. I'm asking Clausell. Clausell.
They're an elite SEC team, yes. Georgia's an elite SEC team, yes.
Are you guys going to start doing that again this show? Please don't.
That's what you do. But anyway.
I don't do that.
Yes,
I
would say Georgia is an elite team. They have a rich football history, yes. Georgia, yes. UCLA, because they're always good. They're always in the top 10 historically.
They've been consistently good since Mark Richt got there. Before that, they were garbage.
Oh, they were good when Bill Donovan was there. I don't know about that. They were good. When Quincy Carter was there, they were good.
I remember your big brother was mad that they got rid of Donovan.
Dooley was one of the top coaches in the country.
Yep, he was. When Herschel Walker was there, Georgia was like a dominant team, man.
Are you guys just making up names? Dooley, who is that?
That is the coach of Georgia. Before
when Herschel
Rick.
Walker was there. Yeah, when no, that
Way
was in the 80s.
Wait,
oh, no, Jim Donovan was a good coach, too. Jim Donovan was a good coach. What I'm saying is Georgia is always a good team. And the thing is, UCLA is never.
What are these years that Georgia was a good team? Because you already know I'm looking up their schedule right now, and I'm going to catch you at the
line. Oh, my God.
Go ahead. UCLA is not an elite college football team. Now, basketball, I'll give you that. But
they are an elite program, but they're not an elite basketball team.
They're an elite basketball team. UCLA is an elite basketball team.
I mean, football team. They are an elite program as far as a college sports program. UCLA is an elite college sports program. But as far as football, they are not an elite football team.
Okay, I want to go back to Georgia. What years did you say Georgia was good?
In the 80s, they were really good.
In the 80s?
In the 80s. And you're probably going to go to 1 year in the 80s when they had record. That's all you're going to do. I already know what you're going to do. That's how you do.
I'm looking
Calibari.
At you.
I know. You're going to start at 80. What are you going to start, Cali Mike? What year are you going to start?
The year 1984,
yeah,
the year after Herschel Walker left. The year after Herschel Walker
left. You don't
even
start at 80. You don't even start at 80. I know how you are, man. You just like to.
They won a national championship in 80, so why would I start then? We know they won a national championship in 80. I'm going to start the year after Herschel Walker left.
Yeah, but now you're going to start your little jot down here.
After Herschel Walker left, I'm seeing 7-7 season, 6-4 season, 6
Jim, who's your name? Jim Donnan. He was the coach. He was sorry as hell. He didn't finish over 500, and this is in the 90s.
I didn't say Donnan. I said Dooley.
Mark Rick came on in 2001.
I said Dooley. I didn't say Donnan. I know Donnan sucks.
I don't even see. When was Dooley the coach? Are you talking about like back in Herschel Walker days?
Yes.
You talking about Vince Dooley?
Dooley's a Hall of Fame coach.
Okay.
Let me see. I'm looking at it right now. Okay, they were good under. Hold on. I'm seeing a lot of sixes and fours. Vince Dooley.
Six and four back in those days was a good season.
Vince Dooley's overall winning percentage at Georgia was 70%.
That's a good winning season back then. Back in those days, you didn't have teams going undefeated every year.
Okay. All right.
You didn't have a BCS either.
Now, what if I would tell you the UCLA percentage was higher than that? Then what would you say?
Say that one more time.
I said, what if I would tell you that UCLA's winning percentage over the same period was higher than that? Then what would you say?
I would say they don't play in the SEC. That's what
see,
I would
here,
say.
Here, see? Okay, here we go. I just wanted to make sure you're going to go back to BS. Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You know, it's easy to win against cupcakes.
Okay. Yep, you're right. Man, I knew it was going to go back to that, too. Here's the problem.
It's always going to go back to that. Nobody plays championship-caliber teams every week but the SEC. It's always going to go back to that.
Even in the eras when they weren't winning the national championships?
Think about it. Be Mississippi State. Be Ole Miss. You have to play LSU, Auburn, and Alabama every single year. Name somebody that has to do that in the Pac-12.
All those schools aren't even really good every year, but...
Answer the question. Name a team that has to play three national championship caliber teams every single year in the Pac-12.
USC?
USC is the championship caliber team.
Every year they have to play Oregon, they have to play Notre Dame, and they have to play Stanford and US and UCLA.
And when has any of them won the national championship lately? When has Oregon won the national championship? Championship caliber. LSU has won the national championship.
Caliber.
I said won it. Alabama, LSU, and Auburn have won the national championship.
Hold on. Now you just now changed that. You did not say win it at first. You said caliber.
Oh, my God.
That means going.
You can't be national championship caliber if you ain't going. When was the last time Oregon went to the national championship? When was the last time UCLA went to the national championship?
When was the last time Stanford went to the national championship?
You can't be national championship caliber if you ain't never been.
Oregon went to the national championship 4 years ago.
Did they win it?
It went up against Cam Newton, your man crush, Tony.
Did they win it?
No.
They made it competitive, though. They know they didn't win. It was a competitive game.
What I'm saying to you is, in the SEC, they play national champions every week.
It was a lucky win by Auburn. They won off a last-second field goal.
In the SEC, you play against national champions every week.
That's what did in the last 10 years, man. Come on now. Cut all that out.
No, the SEC's LSU. Been dominant for 30 years. SEC's been dominant for 30 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Since the 80s, man. The SEC's, man.
Let's do this. Okay. Let's all try to be honest here. What is the most dominant football school of the past 30 years? Over the past 30 years.
What's the what?
Say that again.
What's the what?
Who'd you say, Tony?
What's the what? What'd you say?
Hold on. Call it,
because I was about to start stalling and repeat what I said. What's the most dominant
football
school?
I can't understand. I'm trying to understand. I'm not stalling. I'm trying to understand what you're saying.
Quit talking. Close your mouth and listen. What is the most dominant football school? Oh, man, listen. What is the most dominant football school? Are you retarded? What is the most dominant football school of the past 30 years?
Alabama.
Alabama.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Who is it then?
It's clearly University of Miami.
Are you kidding me? Hell no. Are you serious?
How many national championships Miami has?
Six.
83, 86, 87, and 80. No, they won 86 and then 89, right? They won four national championships.
Alabama has one.
Hold on, let me stop pausing real quick. You say four? We know they won four in the '80s, and we know they won in 91, and then we know that they won four in the '80s.
They won three in the '80s and one in 91.
Nah, no, dude, I'm looking at it right here, man. Stop it.
Alabama is the most dominant football team of the last 30 years, without a doubt.
Yeah,
I'm
Alabama.
I'm looking, okay, so we're going to go by national championship.
Won three in the 80s. No, they only won three in the 80s. Three in the 80s, one in the 90s, and one in
2001. Hold on, let me make sure. There's one national championship.
Yeah, look it up, man. I already looked it up for you.
Yeah, I know. Google it.
I already looked it up for you.
Google it.
83, 87, 89.
That's three in the 80s. 91 and 2001.
Yeah, hold on. That's three, and that's one, and that's five national championships. That's more than Alabama.
Oh, wow.
It is. It's one more than Alabama. Alabama has won four national championships in the past 30 years.
And that's spread out over three decades.
And Miami, hold on. Miami's is over two decades. No.
80s, 90s, and 2000. Are you serious?
Oh, come on, man. We have 90s, 2000s. We have 90s, 2000s, and 2010s. Hold on. We have 90s, 2000s, and 2010s.
We're going over the past 30 years.
I will give you that Miami was the most dominant team of the 80s, but I've already told you the reason why Miami was the most dominant team of the 80s. Just like
I just asked you to name the most dominant team of the
80s. You don't want to hear the truth, do you? You don't want to hear the truth. You just want to hear what matches what you want to hear.
Mike, who do you think is the most dominant team of the past 30 years?
I mean, the 80s part, you could say Miami. And the 90s, another part of the 90s, they were.
They just won one in the 90s. That was 91.
Like the early part of the 90s. And they kind of went down after they had went on probation. And of course, USC had they won.
The NCAA made them follow the same rules as public colleges.
Tony, can you let them finish talking down?
I'm just telling you the truth.
Go ahead, Mike.
They went to three national championships in the 90s, but anyway.
I mean, during that time, you know, they had a little stump. Bama was, you know, consistent. They was in some bowl games. They were competitive, so, I mean, really. They got a valid, you know, point of one of the teams, but it's really hard.
That's not what I asked,
you know,
Mike. I said, who's the most dominant team of the past, over the past 30 years, consistently dominant?
On a consistent basis for all the 30 years, I just say every team had their run. I just leave it like that. Because Alabama had their problem, USC had their problem, Miami had their problem.
Their problem, where was Alabama at in the 80s? Where were they at in the 80s?
Like I said, are you going to ask us, or are you just going to ask Kelly, Chi-Town?
Alabama was in some ball games in the 80s.
But she kept on over-talking, so he wasn't really able to hear
you. Fred Bryant was still the, Fred Bryant was still the coach there, so, I mean, they were still competitive.
Okay, do we get our chance, or you just going to ask him and then move on, because you know you're good at
you've
that.
You've been talking all along.
That's a good question, Mike, but really, I can't really say one.
All right, can it be my turn then? Can it be my turn then?
I just say every team has a one. That's all I say like that then.
Can it be my turn then? Because I'm going to tell you the truth.
You never stop talking. Go.
All right. The reason why Miami was the team of the 80s is because they were a private college, and they were illegally recruiting, paying their players, and doing all kinds of shady shit, and that's how they got all those great players. When the investigation came around and found out they were doing this stuff, the NCAA put them on sanctions, fined them, took away their recruiting, and then they changed the rules in college football to make all colleges have the same rules for recruiting, whether you were private or public. And that is why Miami has been garbage since. Same way with
you know what happened right after those rule changes? Alabama went on sanctions and was fine.
Are you going to deny that since the 80s Notre Dame, or since the early 90s, let's put it that way, or not even the early 90s, I'd say it was more the late 90s when it went into effect. Since the late 90s, Notre Dame and Miami have been absolutely garbage. Why? Because now they can't do all of the illegal recruiting that they were doing that got them all those great players in the national championships.
Yep, that's true.
Notre Dame ain't been good since the 80s, man. I'm looking at Alabama under Shula. Do you know where?
Oh gosh! Now you want to be selective. Now you want to be selective. You don't even want to look at him under Gene Stallings. You don't want to look at the year.
Okay, hold on,
Mike
hold on.
Was good.
Hold on.
That's what I'm saying. You want to. That's what you'd like to do. You like to carefully crafty and pick certain years to try to prove a point.
Well,
you don't want to look at the totality.
Okay, I'm going back to.
I know how you are, man.
Name the coaches you want me to look at. I'll go look at.
No, but you're gonna pick the specific years that they didn't have a good record. When you want to pick up the majority of the years when they did have a good record.
If they're consistently the best team, they shouldn't have a bad record.
Alabama is the most dominant team in the history of college football.
Let me say this. Miami has never only won three games in a season.
Okay.
What dominant team?
USC's never done that. Notre Dame's never done that. What dominant team can we say has went? They went 3-8. They went 4-7. They went 1-12 one year. 5-6. That's dominant, and that's not just in a row. That's over about 10 years.
That's a general question. Can I answer? Okay. The answer is this: it's just like the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots went through that time in their history where everybody thought they were the most dominant team in NFL. And then
they had scandals. Let me finish. You just now told me about the difference between college and NFL. When I brought it up
Let me finish my comparison. And then after they won these national championships and everybody was talking about how they were the greatest team in the history, they found out that what they were doing was they were recording other teams' practices. And then all of a sudden they were vilified. And now the New England Patriots are not the New England Patriots they were when they were winning all them Super Bowls because people don't like Belichick. Well, it's the same way.
Are you saying Alabama was saving teams?
No, let me finish. It's the same way with Miami.
So Miami was cheating.
Yeah, let me finish. Miami won them championships, but then people found out how they won them championships. They were cheating. They were paying players. They were doing
Alabama
all kinds of illegal
cheating. I'm looking at Alabama's years right here. They were, too.
They were doing all kinds of illegal shit, and that's how they won
Alabama,
those national championships.
Tell the truth, Clausel. With Alabama, Clausel, how many years was Alabama on sanctions for? Tell the truth.
I don't remember.
Those championships are tarnished.
This is what I'm talking about. This is what I don't trust Clausel with anything. He's lying right now.
I'm telling you,
truth.
I don't know, man. I don't remember. I think it was like 1 year.
I was more than I think y'all had a couple years.
It was
years,
1 year.
I think 4 years. Was it 4 years?
No, it wasn't 4 years. It wasn't 4 years. It was not 4 years.
It
was like 1 year.
I'm looking at it right now. It was 3 years, and you know it.
But, I mean, they only had a bowl ban for 1 year, though.
It was after you guys got caught doing what was that? Who was that dude? Albert Means or whoever that cat was? You know,
yeah, some dude from.
You know, like, you already know what I'm talking about. So quit acting.
No,
crazy.
I don't know. I don't remember how long the probation was. See, that's what
no,
I'm talking about.
No, but you know what I'm talking about.
I didn't say
about.
I don't remember how long the probation
like
was. That's
what
I'm
saying.
That's why
you're talking
over me because you know I'm talking about that. I'm telling the truth. I don't remember how long the probation was. I thought it was a year. I know it was like a year bowl ban or something like that. That's it. Maybe it was like a reduction of scholarships for the following 2 years. I don't know. It wasn't as bad as what USC went through with the Reggie Bush.
Were they caught cheating? Yes or no?
Yeah, it was a cheating scandal, yeah.
All right,
but my point is this. Alabama is still the most dominant team in the history of college football. And it really, in the past 30 years. They are. That's the truth.
The thing that he's not listening to that I'm trying to make you understand is Alabama got caught and they rebound and look at them now.
Exactly.
When has USC rebound? When has Notre Dame rebound? And when has Miami rebound?
He won games last year and we're still on sanctions. What are you talking about?
You haven't rebounded because you suck.
Yeah, you haven't rebounded. USC has not rebounded.
Mike got a point. They still coming back from sanctions, though. You know, they won 10
games. That's unheard of.
I do not think they'll be back to being USC anytime soon.
Just because you're a hater.
I'm not a hater. I don't have any issues with USC. What are you talking about? I don't have any issues with USC. I think you overhyped them. And the same with UCLA. I think you overhyped them.
It's going to be more competitive now because UCLA got to go back to having a nice program with Moore. So, I mean,
but they're not a top five team.
The U will never, ever be the U again. Why? Because they can't cheat to beat. Notre Dame will never be Notre Dame again. Why? Because they can't cheat to win.
Yeah.
USC,
okay, was Miami independent in 2001?
You know,
Miami
believe it or not, Wiley, Miami
was not independent in 2001.
Yeah, but they were
it doesn't
cheating.
Matter.
They
still had already taken advantage of the situation they were in to be there in 2001.
That was 10 years before. No. The guy that went to jail, they were cheating in 2001. Miami was
what
cheating
guy?
In 2001.
Yes,
the
they
guy
were.
That was from when Randy Shannon was there.
None of those Miami players from 2001 were accused of cheating. Yes, there was. Andre Johnson was mentioned on there. Let me look it up right now.
First of all, that dude is our age. So you mean to tell me he had that much money back then when he was still 20 years old?
That dude's not our age. That dude was born in 1969. You're lying, first of all. It's not true. The dude was born in 1969. Yes, he was. Look it up.
You're talking about Nevin Shapiro, right? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, man. This guy was given That dude was giving athletes. This dude was giving athletes back in 2001 money.
No, he wasn't.
They were cheating. We all know that every championship Miami got in was because they were cheating, illegally recruiting and paying those players. We know that. That is a fact.
Yeah, it
was.
I'm looking at it right
Vince
here.
Vince Wilfork was on there. Hold on. Vince Wilfork was on there. Andre
Johnson
was on there.
I'm looking at it right here. It says from 2002 to 2010. That's the year after they won a national championship. And you can go and look at it too. It's all right here. His name was.
Yeah, but why was Andre Johnson mentioned on there? Why was Vince Wilfork mentioned on there?
It was already going on. Do you not see
I'm looking,
that?
I'm looking at the list of players. I'm looking at the list of players. I see Sean Taylor on here. I see John Beeson on here. I see Antrell Roll and Devin Hester. And those are the oldest dudes I see.
Those dudes are on that 2001.
It says that Wilfork signed with an agency afterwards in 2002.
But Mike, what you don't seem to understand is he is just the one guy that got caught. You think he was the only one doing it? Where do you think he got the idea to do it? Other people were doing it. He's just the one that got caught.
Going on at University of Alabama? You don't think the same thing is going on in Alabama?
But it wasn't going on like it was going on at the private college, Miami.
No,
Miami
wasn't
a private college then, Tony.
But it had been a private college, which means all of the people and all of the corruption
was
already in place.
That was 15 years before.
The corruption was in place.
That was 15 years before.
Kellen Winslow was on there. Hold on. Kellen Winslow's on here.
Kellen Winslow Jr.
Vince Wilfork.
Yeah,
Kellen Winslow Jr. He was on that 2001 Miami Hurricane team. What are you talking about, man? Like, come on,
Ooh,
man.
Kellen Winslow Jr. did not play on that damn team.
Yes, he did. He was on the 2001 Miami Hurricane team. Yes, he was.
Jeremy Shockey was the tight end of that team.
Yeah, and then his backup was Kellen Winslow Jr. Willis McGahee was on that 2001 Miami Hurricane team, too.
Kellen Winslow was on that 2001 Miami Hurricane team, a non-starter, but they were on the team, and Kellen Winslow was photographed receiving benefits in 2005, which was four years afterwards.
Kellen Winslow was in the league in 2005. That's not true. How could you receive benefits? He's already in the league.
Where are you looking at?
I'm looking on Yahoo, and Yahoo is reliable. My point is, you can keep arguing. The point is, I think Watley's right, man. Miami is not going to be back to being Miami. I've come to that conclusion because I thought they were going to be good this year, but I think based off of what Watley has told me, are you still on Watley? Watley, you still on?
I'm here.
Based on what Watley said, it clearly says 2003 under this picture.
Based on what Watley was saying with the cheating, I'm going to have a hard time Notre Dame and Miami getting back to their prominence. And actually, I might say the same for USC because I thought Miami was going to have a good team this year. But after I saw what they did 2 days ago against Louisville, I said, this team ain't coming back, man. This team ain't coming back to where they're going.
They're done. They will never be the U of M.
Yeah, the old Miami is ain't coming back, man. They ain't gonna be able to come back. I mean, they'll have some good teams, but they ain't gonna be in the U. They ain't gonna be like that no more.
No, that's the years of their dominance is over.
This is insanity. Hold on, I'm putting you on hold, Tony. I'm bringing another caller out here.
813, what's going on? You're on with CMT.
Hey, what's going
on? Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, I was just listening to y'all. What's going on?
Okay, right now we're in the midst of talking about the University of Miami. Apparently, Clausell and Tony Clausell believes that they were not. First of all, he said they were cheating on a 2001 team, which he provided no proof of. Then he
said
that they're not
what
ever.
What are you talking about? I just did. You're a freaking liar.
Okay, okay, hold on, Clausell. Hold on, Clausell. Hold on,
Clausell. Looking at the article that you just told me to go to, it shows a picture of the dude in Kellen Winslow. It says 2003. Then if you go down, it says Yahoo has provided thousands of benefits from 2002 to 2010.
Yeah.
That's
man.
After 2001 championship, right?
2002 is after 2001.
What?
2002 is after 2001.
Okay, so that's after the championship then, right?
Well, question. All right, is there a picture? Okay, we know this guy's a dirty guy. Is Kellen Winslow with that dirty guy?
In 2003?
No, is he with that dirty guy? Yes or no?
In 2003.
He took the picture of with him in 2003, but is Kellen Winslow linked to that guy? DJ Williams is on there?
In 2003, there's a picture of Nevin Shapiro and Kellen Winslow.
Yeah, they took a picture together, but that doesn't mean he wasn't giving him benefits in 2001. Just because the picture was taken in 2003.
Their own investigation says the benefits didn't start in 2002.
It says it right here
in the own investigation.
Yeah, man. I'm making it up. You're taking a little loophole argument and trying to just...
How is that a loophole? It says it right here.
These guys played in 2000, in that 2001 Miami Hurricane team, but... You're just trying to say, okay,
where are all these niggas you named? You said Andre Johnson. I don't see him anywhere.
Andre Johnson had a picture with this guy.
Okay, so you just named him out of nowhere then. You didn't actually see any proof that he took anything. You just named him because he was in the
picture. Well, his name on the list. His name on Andre Johnson, Kellen Winslow, Willis McGahee, Sean Taylor's on that list. So,
I'm looking at the list right now. I don't see any Andre Johnson.
And really, I got a question for you. Let's just say 2001 they won a national championship. Really, 2000 they were really good. Miami Hurricanes in 2000 was really good. That's when they started being really good. 2001 they won a national championship. 2002, 2003, they were still a dominant team. Is that not true?
Well, actually, they were dominant in 2000. They should have won the national championship in 2000.
That's what I said. So 2000 and 2001... They won in 2001.
But 2003, they were still on the team,
and he was giving them benefits then.
The way we got started on this is we asked the same question again. What is the most dominant team over the past 30 years in college football? I said University of Miami. Clausell said University of Alabama, which I believe is absolute bullshit. What do you think?
No, it's not.
I mean, we keep having the same argument, and it's like. We got actual facts. So, I mean, I'm going to just say again, we got the University of Miami, but it don't make sense to keep arguing the same shit when we got facts. You said over the past
we got facts, too. I have my facts. You ain't got to believe my facts. I mean, you don't have to believe my facts. It's all about you taking my facts.
When I try to explain facts to these people, they act like I made these. And I'm like I said, I'm not a Miami fan. I'm an SC fan. But they act like I made up Miami's national championships. Then they said Miami was cheating. Then I brought up Alabama got caught cheating too. They act like that didn't happen.
No, that's not true. You're lying there. See, that's what I'm talking about. You just lied there. That's not a fact.
I asked you about.
Is it a fact? Is it a fact that Miami was cheating?
Why do you know that Alabama was cheating?
Is it a fact that Miami
was put on sanctions? They were put on tougher sanctions than Miami.
Were they put on sanctions when they were dominant? Was Miami cheating when they were dominant? Is that a fact or not?
dominant.
Yes, in the '80s, was Miami cheating?
I don't know about
Wiley.
Wiley, you're back on.
I mean, why are you? If you got proof, why are we asking the question? If you got proof, present the proof. If you got proof,
because
that
you don't want to acknowledge the proof. I mean, you don't want to acknowledge the proof.
If it's proof, I gotta acknowledge it. So put. I mean, you a scientist, bring forth the evidence.
If you have evidence.
What's the evidence that Mob was cheating in the '80s? What's the evidence?
They were on probation in the '90s because of what they were doing on the '80s.
No, they were on probation because of what Jeremy German did, not because of what they were doing in the '80s. That's because now you can research that. They were on probation because of what Jeremy German did, not because of what they did.
When did Jeremy German play?
Go look it up. It was not in the '80s.
Mm.
I mean, you trying to argue Florida facts with somebody from Florida?
Exactly, Carville.
No, 1981, they were on probation. They were on probation for 2 years. For 1 year,
they were not a dominant team in 81. So, you know what Miami was dominant in the 80s? It was in the mid to late 80s. Were they on probation at that time?
In the mid to late 80s? No, they weren't on probation in the mid to late 80s.
Were they on probation?
No. But were they cheating in the mid to late 80s? Hold on, were they cheating in the mid to late 80s?
Why did they get on probation in the 90s? What was the reason for that?
I have it right here.
I never said Miami was cheating in the 80s. What I said was Miami had different standards for recruiting than the public college had in the 80s, and that's what made them dominant, was they were able to do things that public college could not do, like pay for players, buy their players' cars, do all kinds of crazy shit that the public school could not do.
You are a real clown, Clavel.
But Tony, let me tell you something. But just the thing, though,
you're
when Miami was winning in the '80s, they weren't recruiting blue chip guys. They weren't recruiting guys that anybody even wanted. They were getting guys out of Miami, Florida, that nobody wanted.
They weren't recruiting blue chips. They were going to those schools down in Miami, and they were finding them thugs, and they were finding them people that couldn't read a sentence, and they were getting them out there on the football field, and they were saying they were making B pluses.
Yeah, but they weren't giving them anything, because you're not going to give somebody.
They weren't giving them something. They were paying for them to go to school, and they shouldn't even have been in college.
Come on, Tony, every school does that. Y'all like Florida don't do the same thing.
Exactly.
Come on, now, y'all. Let's be serious. You act like Florida don't do the same thing. Most D1 athletes don't even deserve to be at them schools. That's in the D1 program. They don't deserve to be at them schools. They don't have the academics. You know how hard it is to get into Florida?
I agree, but what I'm saying is, in the 80s, because the rules for private schools and public schools were totally different. Public schools were sanctioned and monitored, whereas private schools could do whatever they want because they were not paid for by tax dollars. And that is why Miami dominated in the 80s, is because they could go out and do whatever they wanted to get their athletes. And they could pay their athletes. They could buy their athletes' cars. They could put them up in rooms. They could have them prostitutes.
Wait a minute.
They weren't doing that. They're still under the NCAA.
Who was buying anybody a car or anything like that? Let's not just start making stuff up.
You're not
Come on, Tony, Mike. You think I guarantee you.
Come on, Tony.
That was happening.
Tony, the guys that Miami had on their team in the 80s were not players that anybody else wanted. Nobody knew about South Florida until Miami showed everybody what a talent pool that was.
You can go back and watch the U 30 for 30. They said, "What's old boy? Schnellinger? He was the first dude to ever recruit those dudes."
Exactly. Florida could always recruit in South Florida. They never did. They always recruited North Florida in the Panhandle. They never recruited South Florida. Miami made the whole country come to South Florida look for athletes. Because they showed everybody that they got a great talent pool down there.
And how did they find them?
I'm sorry?
How did they find them?
They was in the front of their
face. Right there.
They in your face.
Come on now. Y'all answer the question. How did they find them?
They're in Miami.
What are you talking about?
You in Miami. Corey Campbell's in Miami right next to each other.
Okay, so in other words, y'all not answering the question. Y'all said they weren't blue chip, they weren't highly known, they weren't anybody that you would know on the national scene. So tell me how they found them.
They called the high school coach up and say, "Do you got anybody that can play football?"
Wow, really?
Yep.
That's the same way. That's the same way all college coaches get ball players.
And Luke was giving him money too. And really, in the 30 for 30, Luke was giving him money. And these players, hold on, and if you watch the 30 for 30, these players are pretty much admitting that they can benefit.
Luke ain't got shit to do with Miami. Luke is not a part of the University of Miami. Luke is a
thank
you.
He's an outside entity. He's full of bullshit now.
That's some bullshit.
He ain't got shit to do with that.
All right, whatever. He ain't got shit to do with
the money. I was gonna say Kellen Winslow was on the 2001 Miami team. I didn't know that, but
yeah,
he was
on that 2001 Miami Hurricanes team.
Okay.
If you watch the documentary, the players are basically admitting that they were taking benefits. All right. So.
Okay, but I'm still waiting for the reason why they was on suspension in the 90s because of what they did in the 80s.
Yeah. What is it exactly? You still haven't proved. You haven't proved anything, Claudio. You just keep saying the same thing over and over again.
If you bring forth evidence, we can't do no but stand corrected. And
exactly.
As a sponsor, I know you respect that. If you bring forth evidence, we can't do no but stand corrected.
You don't get it, David. He bases nothing off of facts. He's a physics major. He produces no evidence.
But the thing about it is that I don't know what this like beef with the. And I said this before. Like it's like somebody. I don't get why you want to keep coming up all the time.
You know why it is, David? It's because University of Miami is one of the few schools who can challenge SEC dominance, and they don't like that. That's why.
Think about this,
everybody. Who are the two schools that Clausen and Tony hate? University of Miami and USC.
When did you ever hear me say I hated the University of Miami?
And when have you ever heard me say I hated the University? I never said I hated the University of Miami. I never said I hated USC.
We ain't talking about you, Tony.
Oh, you don't have to say it. Every time he's bringing
Tony,
up, he's trying to bring up something negative. You
I never said I hated the University of Miami. What are you talking about? I never even said I hated the University of Miami.
No, you ain't have to say
you
it.
You don't have to say it. Every time we talk about it, you bring up something
Miami
negative about it.
You try to downplay what they did.
Ain't nobody trying to downplay what they did. I'm just saying this dynasty.
You do it every
the
time,
Alabama
dude.
Dynasty was better than the Miami dynasty. That's all I'm saying.
That's how you feel. But I'm going to be real.
Exactly. That's how I feel. I have the right to express that feeling.
I'm going to be real with you. You're right. But like I said, when Miami was going at it in the 80s with Notre Dame, they was going at it with OU. I didn't even know what the hell University of Alabama was.
Because you don't watch anything outside of the state of Florida, that's why. All right?
Okay.
Because before Miami was winning, they didn't have
to
say Alabama was dominant. Alabama was dominant on the scene before Miami was winning their championships. And after Miami was winning their championships, Alabama still dominated on the scene, all
right?
So that's all I'm saying.
But in the late 80s, when it was Miami, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, when those teams were going back and forth, where was the SEC?
Exactly.
Georgia?
Where were they in that picture, though?
Georgia?
Where were they?
Under Herschel Walker.
Georgia
won
the national championship in the
80s. You just not said late 80s, Clausell. Stop it. You just said late 80s. Stop it.
I said late 80s. Where was
in terms of national championships. But no, the SEC was still good in the late 80s, but in terms of national championships, it was Miami and Notre Dame in them.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Where were these SEC schools? If like I said, Alabama should have been in the mix of that whole shit.
They were. They had good teams in the 80s, Miami, Alabama, but they weren't winning national championships.
I feel you.
But that's like me saying, okay, where's Miami at now in the 2000s?
Oh,
I mean, come on, man.
I'll be the first one to admit, Miami ain't had no good team since they won their last championship. I'll be the first one to admit to you.
Okay.
I'll be the first one to admit to you. But
okay,
like I said,
so why you
want to
play?
When Miami was doing their thing, I ain't even know. People didn't want even talking about SEC schools. Especially not
Alabama. Do you see how he just admitted how his school wasn't doing too good, but you still can't admit that Alabama wasn't doing good?
What are you talking about? I always admit the truth. What I'm saying is,
you just hold up, dude. Let me explain.
Let me tell you what.
Let me explain. He just now asked you. He said when Miami and Notre Dame and Oklahoma was winning national championships, where was Alabama? Instead of you just saying they weren't good, you consistently, oh, no, they were a good team. They just wasn't playing for the national championship.
Exactly.
They're just saying they weren't that damn good.
Just because you weren't playing for the championship, where did UCLA go in about 40 years then, if that's the case?
I'm not a UCLA fan. I don't know.
Yeah, man.
Probably getting
asked by USC. Yeah, but their team, though, right? But my point is this. Oh, yeah, financial aid scandal. They were using financial aid to pay their player. That's why Miami was on probation in the 90s. All right, but the thing is.
What?
I don't have no
hold on, hold on. Hold on. What did you just say? What?
Financial aid. That's why Miami was on probation.
Was that because of what happened in the 90s?
Say that again, I couldn't understand you.
Was that because of what happened in the 80s, or was it because of what happened in the 90s?
It was in 1995.
Okay.
All right,
so we clear that. Did we clear that up, or did we still got doubt of they was on probation because of what they did in the 80s?
Okay, so I got a question then. No, were they taking benefits in the 80s? Did they not get that in that video that they were taking benefits? Hold on, let me finish. On 30 for 30, did Miami admit that they take benefits? Yes or no? Huh?
You just couldn't admit it.
Can you admit that Miami? Can you admit that Miami took benefits? They said this on the 30 for 30. These players, they said they took it in the 80s. Could you admit that?
When you say benefits,
what? Benefits, money, gifts. That's what I mean by benefits. Things that ain't supposed, gifts
mean,
ain't supposed
mean,
to get. That's what
I mean
by
hold
benefits.
Are you talking about the stuff they got from Luke after they were already enrolled in the university?
No, just benefits in general. It could be from Luke. It could be from anybody. Would you admit that they admitted in that video that they were taking benefits?
From Luke,
I don't know.
After
they're
already
in the
university?
You don't know, I'm not going to say what somebody else admitted to. That way, I'm not going to say nothing like that.
You just couldn't even admit that you were wrong about the sanctions, and that's true. You were proven wrong.
I just told you I was wrong. I didn't say I was wrong. I just told you I was, hey, Miami got it in the 90s. Okay, whatever. My point is this, and then this whole thing with this Miami thing is this. My thing is this. I feel like Alabama's dynasty is better than Miami's dynasty. That's just my point,
okay.
Because the toughness of the schedule, I think Alabama had a tougher schedule to win their national championships than Miami. So I think Alabama's dynasty is Miami's dynasty. That's just the point I'm making, all right? I don't hate that. I could care less. I ain't like y'all on my mind all the time.
Yeah,
I could care less.
You got a valid point. The SEC was, I mean, the time when Miami was in the Big East, not the ACC, I mean, the SEC was much tougher.
Mike, hold on, before you start talking, Miami was independent. They were playing everybody. So,
Can I interject? I just want to say this because I'm looking up the Shapiro case. I want to read a statement straight from Shapiro.
Please don't.
His own words. Here it goes, and please don't interrupt until I'm finished.
Go ahead.
His statement says, "Here's the thing: Luther Campbell was the first uncle who took their players before I got going, which means this was going on with other people before he got going." Then he says, Shapiro says, referring to the entertainer notorious for supplying cash to Miami players in the 80s and 90s. His role was diminished by the NCAA and the school, and someone needed to pick it up and pick up the mantle. That someone was me. That is his exact words. This was going on in the 80s and the 90s, and then the school shut him down, and that's when Shapiro picked it up.
Okay.
There was a football player just now who said Alabama tried to, who said Alabama bought him a Corvette.
No.
And that's
you want me to put that on CMT Firestorm?
That's what you like to do. That's what you like to do, Mike. That's what you like to do. You like to just say something like that, and you don't even want to admit when you're wrong.
But I don't, mm-hmm. I don't go when a guy's in the Fed and he's mad at everybody. Now he want to start telling. I don't give a damn what he got to say. I don't give a damn
did,
what he got to say.
Did Luke say he don't even know who that dude is and he never?
But that don't mean you don't have to give a damn. But that don't mean it ain't true.
He never said he worked with Luke. Wait a minute. He never said he worked with Luke. He said he picked up from Luke. Luke was doing it in the 80s and 90s. The school and the NCAA told Luke he had to stop, and he picked up where Luke was. That's what he said. He didn't have to know nothing about Luke.
If he doesn't know Luke and he wasn't associated with Luke, how does he know Luke's business then?
Because everybody knew what was going on in Miami.
So basically, he just told the story with as much inside as
Mike, you don't even want to admit when you're wrong, man. See, that's a problem.
Like I said, the NCAA and the school were the ones that cracked down on him. Everybody knew what was going on.
I already said Luke was giving those dudes money, but what I'm saying is this dude just told a story based on what he heard, and so basically he has as much insight as we do.
No, the dude just told you. The NCAA and the school are the ones that cracked down on it, so it wasn't words, it was fact. They found the cheating, they found the paying off, they found the incentive, they found all of that stuff, and they found
that there was cheating going on,
and they ain't put no sanctions on them?
Exactly.
They called themselves cleaning up their own program. That's what the school called. It was a private college. The NCAA at that time could not sanction a private college. What part of that don't y'all understand?
They did it at SMU. SMU was a private school, and they gave SMU the death penalty.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They changed the rules to where recruiting for private colleges had to be the same for public colleges. That's when that happened in the late 80s and 90s.
That's not what we're talking about. Hold on, man. Y'all keep changing the subject about what we're talking here.
No, you keep changing the subject. You don't want to admit when you're wrong. That's the problem.
I haven't brought up a different subject yet.
Yes, you have. You always bring up a subject. But whatever, man. It is what it is, man. I mean, you guys can just keep arguing, but it's pretty obvious they took money, man. Miami took money.
There's something really wrong with you, man.
what's obvious is the scandals that were going on at Miami didn't just start in the 2000s. It was during their 80s and 90s championship runs also.
And you know what? If this was Alabama, you'd be right on Tony's side. If this was Alabama, you would be right on Tony's side. You wouldn't even think about the fact. You'd go by strictly opinion. It is what it is, man.
Hold up. Let me finish. This is the thing. I know Alabama players are taking money. I know USC players are taking money. Y'all are acting like Miami players are doing some shit everybody else ain't doing.
Exactly.
And I'm just telling you that in the 80s, when they were winning those national championships, Tony, you've told us
without naming names that you've seen University of Florida players that you know take benefits. So what about that?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay. See?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
So I don't want to put you on blast, but let's be real. Everybody's doing it. So let's quit acting like it's just a couple. Let's quit acting like it's just Miami. I think it's worse than Miami. I think
everyone's doing it, but I think it's even in Miami. I really do. During the 80s, I think it was a lot worse.
Alabama, I mean, y'all got Tuscaloosa and Florida's in Gainesville. Miami's in Miami, so of course there's going to be a lot of action because Miami's in the city.
It's worse in a small city where there's nobody to catch you, Mike. That's the thing.
I just put the wings up, and I just put the
wings
up.
I just put the link up, and I just put the quote by Shapiro up. They said Luke was doing what he was doing in the 80s and the 90s, and when the NCAA and the school shut Luke down, that's when he picked it up and carried on.
Wait a minute, now you,
that was his exact
What did the NCAA crack down on Luke? What sanctions were put on Miami because of Luke? Please name them.
The school self-punished itself by calling itself cleaning up its program, and they went to Luke and told him he had to stay out of it because the NCAA was going to punish Miami.
Was?
Yes. At that time, they hadn't done it yet, but they were going to because they heard all of the stuff going on with Luke, and they went to Miami and said, either get it straight or we're going to do something. Then Miami went to Luke and said, leave our players alone.
This is the type of stuff I'm talking about here, folks. Insanity.
And when Miami went to Luke and told him to leave the players alone, Luke backed off supposedly, and Shapiro said when Luke backed off, that's when he picked up. That's his exact words.
How does he know what Luke doing?
The NCAA had already told the school, so it was public knowledge if the NCAA knew.
Yeah, okay, see, that's what I'm talking about, man. If this was Alabama, you'd be like, yes, I agree. Now you give all these types of questions. See, that's what I'm talking about, man. You know, it's like the bias is just it's just killing me, man. But, you know.
Did you just not hear what I just said about 2 minutes ago, or are you closing your ears? I said all
it
these schools.
It's got to be public knowledge if the NCAA knew. The NCAA is always the last one to know.
All right, I guess the point you guys are trying to argue is insane, and it's not even a real point. So I don't.
See, the points you're arguing are insane.
What point am I arguing, Carville? This insane.
Look, I'm not the one saying. I think Miami is a great program. To this day, I think they're a great program. I think those national championships were the bomb. Those teams were the best teams in college football at that time. No ifs, ands, or buts. You can question how they got them players, but it doesn't. You can't question that they were the best team. They were the best team. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that.
Yeah, I give you that. I agree. They were great teams. I just think Alabama was a little bit better, but they were great teams, though.
I don't hate on Miami. I really don't.
When Miami won them championships, so you think that it was an Alabama team that could have beat those teams?
Absolutely not.
Yep, I do.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
Not the 2001.
Absolutely
but
not.
I think so. Not the 2001, but the some of the ones in the 80s. Yeah, I do.
No, okay. Nigga, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I do think Alabama could have beat some of those teams in the 80s, but not the 2001 one. I'll give you the 2001. That one's one for the ages.
Okay.
No,
was you even watching Miami football in the late 80s? Do you even know who Miami was?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I can't agree with you there, Clausel. I don't think anybody could have beat Miami. Not in them years. Them boys were loaded.
And Alabama was it?
No, not like Miami.
Yeah. All right, I don't even want to argue about this.
All the same
players
on the team, but if you say so.
For NFL, I'm talking about college teams. But let me just move on, man.
You got to be good. You got to be good in college to make the NFL.
No, I mean, yeah, you got to be a good player, but you don't have to be a great player in college to make it to the NFL.
I feel you. You're right about that. It's Hall of Fame player.
And really, that Miami team, Alabama beat one of those Miami teams in the team.
They did, and we get them credit for that. But like I say, the other ones. Do you think it was a Miami team could have beat them? That Miami team that beat Alabama team that beat Miami, that was a hell of a team. I give y'all credit for that. Hell of a defense. Hell of a team.
No, that was a hell of a Miami team too. That was a good Miami team.
That was a hell of an Alabama team. I ain't gonna take nothing from them. That was a hell of a team. So, you know what I'm saying? But like I said, the teams that Miami won championships with, you said, the 2001, but the other ones, do you think it was the Alabama team that could have beat them?
Yeah.
That's all I want to know. Okay.
No, but what I'm saying is that team and that 92 Miami team was just as good as those Miami teams in the 80s.
Okay, I mean, I don't really think you know.
And I think, that 92 Alabama team, I don't think was as good as that 2009 Alabama team. I don't think they were as good as the 2011 Miami Alabama team. And I think some of those Alabama teams would have beat some of those Miami teams in the 80s. Maybe not that 2001. I give you that 2001, but some of those teams in the 80s, I do think Alabama would have beat them. That 91 Miami team, I think Alabama would have beat them. That 83 Miami team, I think Alabama would have beat them. You know, so.
Yeah, I don't know. That 87 Miami team, I don't see a lot of people beating them because that's one of the roughest football teams I've seen in my life.
I know. That 87 Miami football team, I don't think an NFL team could beat
them. Come on. Yo, y'all think Alabama looked too clean cut for them dudes.
That's like that UNLV team. You remember that UNLV team with Tarkanian? Them boys was bad, boy. That basketball team, I don't think an NBA team could have beat them boys.
Yeah, that was with Larry Johnson and Greg Anthony.
Yes.
That was a rough team, too.
Yes, that's what I'm
saying. That's a rough team.
Some of them teams, some of them back in them days, some of them colleges was putting together some teams that I don't even think professionals could have beat. I don't think that 87 Miami Hurricane team, I think some of the lower NFL teams of that time would have got their ass whooped by that Miami team.
Really on that stretch, Miami could have won three in a row. And then, you know, they got kind of cheated in that Notre Dame game with that call when Jimmy Johnson last year in the game against Penn State. Then he tested Verdi through four interceptions, and they still had a chance at the end to win, and he threw an interception at the end. So, I mean, that could have been three in a row right there. You can talk about Jimmy Johnson, the greatest Miami Hurricane coach ever, had that happened on that stretch.
Yeah, it's all good, man. It's all good. I mean, people gonna always have their opinion, man. You know, but like I said, man, if you really watched it, you know what time it was.
Oh yeah.
All right, let's switch
gears here. Mike just brought up Jimmy Johnson. I want to ask you guys, what do you guys think about Jerry Jones not putting Jimmy Johnson in the Ring of Fame there?
That's a tough one because I heard this argument on ESPN. And I kind of understood both sides of it. One was saying how Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson don't get along, how Jimmy Johnson would insult Jerry Jones in front of the staff and do all kinds of crazy shit in front of the staff at the owner. And Jerry Jones did not like the way Jimmy Johnson talked to him. And that's why he ended up firing him. But at the same time, I understand the other side where it's about production. If you don't got back-to-back national championships and took your team from a 1-11 team to, I mean, Super Bowls, not national championships, and you win two Super Bowls in a row in 3-4 years, you deserve to be in the Ring of Honor. So, but it's his team. And while it's his team, you don't get in the ring. It's that simple.
It'd be sad if Jimmy made the actual Hall of Fame before he made the Dallas Cowboys Ring of Fame.
It can happen. Like I said, you know, as long as Jerry Jones owns the Dallas Cowboys, he can do what he wants with that stadium. It's his. And so until somebody else owns it, Jimmy might never get in.
Now, has Jerry actually came out and said that that's why he's not letting Jimmy in because they had personal differences?
No, of course he didn't go come out and say nothing like that. Why would he? That would be stupid.
Shit, you never know. If it is, you know, you never know. Jerry Jones might be that type of guy. But, I mean, it's hard. I mean, Jimmy Jones basically, you know, arguably, I know Dallas Cowboys fans will probably say Tom Landry. Well, probably Jimmy Johnson was probably their best coach of all time. You know, when it comes down to it. So it's I don't know. It'll be kind of strange not to see him, you know, honored anywhere in their stadium. You know, in their new stadium there. But, you know, like I said, it's Jerry Jones' team. So
he's going to do things his way. And
They said, now, I've heard this. They said Jimmy Johnson had a very unique coaching style. And it started in Miami, but they said he had a really unique coaching style where he was not the father figure type of person to his athlete. He straight told him, look, you grown men. I ain't got to tell you what to do. You do what the hell you want to do. All I care about is you being on this football field on Saturdays and getting the job done. You being on this football field on Sundays and getting the job done. He didn't micromanage them and try to be their dad and tell them when to be in the house and who to sleep with and where to spend their money. He's like, I don't care about all that. You do what you want. If you want to sleep, if you want to be out in the street till 3 o'clock in the morning, you better be here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And some kind of way, their fellas loved it. I mean, they liked that not, you know, hands-off style, and it worked for them. It worked in Miami, and it worked in Dallas.
Yeah, I mean, it, you know, I rewatched
the U a couple of weeks ago, and yeah, it seems like kind of how that was. How he was at Miami, you know, they said that. He would, what they call it, like a controlled chaos kind of thing. You know, like he would let them go out there and do what they want. But he was, you know, he knew, you know, like I said, he knew what was, you know, he knew what all, you know, pretty much what all they were going to be doing.
Right. But, he was very strict about practice and very strict about the games. But their personal time, he let them do whatever they want. You do whatever you want. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, like I say, you know, he's a very, very interesting dude, very polarizing character. It's gonna be interesting to see how he, you know, how that whole thing is gonna play out. I'll say this though,
Mike, Jerry needs Jimmy, even though they still haven't buried the hatchet, man. The Dallas Cowboys ain't going nowhere. Since Jimmy Johnson left, the Cowboys haven't been nothing, and Jimmy no talent. Like you saw on that, the Cowboys, especially the life of football, Jimmy Johnson, it tells you the whole details of what happened. I mean, they both, you know, wanted control and they had egos, and you just couldn't have them both couldn't be on the same side like that. And it was some credit that Jerry Jones was getting credit for, which he shouldn't have got credit for. So it was one of those things.
I don't know that I agree with that because as much as Jimmy Johnson has a lot of talent. Bill Parcells, to me, is the best football coach in the history of football. I love that man. And I'm going to tell you, he had Dallas going in the right direction until Jerry Jones decided he wanted him to take this guy named Tony Romo and make him the quarterback. And that is when Parcells was like, no. You know, either you're going to let me rebuild this team and get it right, or else you're going to do it yourself. And Jones told him, I want you to play this guy, and that's when Parcells retired again. Why? Because he didn't want to play Tony Romo. Jerry Jones made him play Tony Romo, and Dallas Cowboys ain't been shit since Tony Romo's been the starting quarterback.
Well, you know what, Tony? I'm kind of split on Bill Parcells. I think he was a good coach, but I don't think he was that good of a GM, to tell you the truth.
I don't care about him. I mean,
he did good in New York with the Jets, Cali Mike. He did go to the NFC Championship. He was there.
I'm talking head coach. He is a top head coach in football history.
Well, that's what I mean. Like I said, I think he's a good coach, but you know, when he came back and was working in the Cowboys front office, I don't think he was that good. I don't think he was that good there. I don't think he was that good in Miami.
Right.
You know, like I said, I think he was a good coach. You know, I mean, he was a good coach. I mean, he coached up, you know, the Jets, and then he coached up the Pats, you know, before he left there. But you know, like I said, I just, you know, his front office skills, I think are kind of lacking.
I agree. I mean, I don't see him being a business owner, but as a football coach, I think he was a genius. And when Jerry Jones forced him to start Tony Romo, he said, I'm done. You told me I could come in here and rebuild this team. You told me I could do whatever I wanted. You get me here after a year, I don't rebuild it. Took us from like 4-9 and made us 8-5 or something like that. And now all of a sudden you're going to tell me now I want you to throw this quarterback in? No, I am putting my system into play. You can either let my system come in or you can do your own thing. And Jerry Jones told him, my starter is going to be Tony Romo. And that's when Bill Parcells said, all right, well, then I'm out.
Wow.
And you see where Dallas has been since Romo has been the starting quarterback.
I mean, okay, but, you know what, I mean, I don't know, man. Like I said, I'm kind of torn. I mean, Romo's not a bad quarterback. Let's get that out the way. He's not a bad quarterback. He's not, you know, maybe he's not a finisher. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, the Cowboys, you know, as much as people want to put stuff on Romo, the Cowboys really haven't had that good teams in general. You know, I know he has, you know, like I say, Romo has messed up, you know, in crunch time. And you can't be an elite quarterback and do that, which I'm not saying he's an elite quarterback. But, I'm, you know, like I say, sometimes people talk about him like he's garbage, you know, and dude isn't a garbage quarterback. You know, maybe,
and also,
like I say, maybe he's the kind of quarterback, maybe he needed a better coach earlier, you know.
Okay, he's had better coaches. He's had two better coaches. He's had three coaches since he was the starting quarterback, and ain't one of them been able to get him to be a winner. So obviously it must be him.
Yeah.
He had Parcells, and then he had the dude, what's the old dude from Houston?
Was it Gary Kubiak, was it?
No, the old dude, gray-haired dude. I can't remember his name.
His
daddy was a coach, too.
Before Jason Garrett. Yeah, I know you're talking.
I just can't
remember his name. Yeah.
He had him for 2 or 3 years, and then he had Garrett. So, you know, obviously it's not the coach because he don't have three different types of coaches. And he don't have them long enough to where they could implement their systems, and he's still not winning. So, obviously, it ain't the coach.
Yeah.
But I was going to say somewhere partially disagree a little bit with you on Tony, but I think it was other stuff, but Parcells was starting to get into it with Tony Romo, saying, okay, he just didn't want Tony Romo to get into, you know what I'm saying, the entertainment outside of football, distractions. When he started getting into that, that's when Parcells even told him that this focus on football. He didn't want Tony Romo to be, you know, the megastar, like, you know, say, you know, like Tom Brady is, but Tom Brady packed it up, produced, or, you know, like Joe Montana, that type. That's why I was hearing about that. He said once Tony Romo was starting to be on TV and publicity, he already knew it was a wrap.
But Parcells already didn't like Tony Romo. Parcells didn't like Tony Romo to begin with. That's why he brought, what's his name, from New England with him. Because he didn't like Tony Romo. And then, do you not remember, after that, he played the black quarterback. What was that black dude's name?
Quincy Carter.
He didn't even play Tony Romo. He did not like Tony Romo. And Jerry Jones made him play Tony Romo. And when Jerry Jones made him play Tony Romo, he was out. He was like,
But everybody was kind of clamoring for Tony Romo, too. Like, you know, he kind of had the fans kind of want him, so it's kind of going to that way anyway.
But Parcells didn't like Romo, and now Parcells turns out to be right. We have seen Tony Romo as the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys for over 8 years, and the man ain't made the playoffs yet. Obviously, Parcells saw something.
They made the playoffs now, Tony. They didn't make it. They made the playoffs this first year there. They lost a game to Seattle when he made that play. I mean,
I remember the kick. But that was with Parcells. That first year was with Parcells. I said after Parcells left and Romo was the starter, they made the playoffs in.
Yes, they did. Remember the year when the Giants won the Super Bowl in 2007? They made it. They was the first team the Giants beat. I mean, the first team the Giants beat because there was no. What? The second team the Giants beat because, they went on that wild card run and they beat Dallas at old Cowboys Stadium. Ended up being the last game there because, they tore it down. So, yeah. And Dallas had the best
record. In eight years, they made the playoffs twice and got past the first round. Is that better?
Technically, the second round because they had home field. I mean, they had the best record.
It's hard to believe that Romo had been the quarterback there for over 8 years. Man, that's crazy.
Just
got in there a little while ago. You're right. I mean, like I said, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you're right. Dude hasn't been a winner, man. I just can't believe it's been that long. I'm still thinking this dude's only in his, fifth or sixth year. That's been a while. He's a veteran, so he should have had to put up or get up.
I can be honest, though. I do see Dallas making the playoffs this year. Like I said on the previous shows, when you have the talent that the Dallas Cowboys have, eventually the numbers are going to be on your side. And they have missed the playoffs, and they have had so many struggles for so long that either this year or the next couple of years, I think it's all going to come together for Dallas, and I think they're going to make a run. I really do, because they have too much talent on that team not to.
It could happen. I want to switch gears real quick to I want to talk about J.J. Watt's new contract. It's pretty much going to be like 6 years, $108 million. I kind of think it's a big contract. I kind of think it's kind of underwhelming, though, when you look at, how much Mario Williams got paid, 2 years ago. What do you guys think about it?
I think he took a blow for the team. I mean, it's a big contract, but it ain't as big as it could have been. And I think he really looked at salary cap and other things and had one of those situations of where they explained to him, we're trying to build us a Super Bowl team and this, that, the other. He was willing to work with them. Yeah, they gave him a significant contract, but they didn't give him, like you said, like Williams should have got, and he deserved it. So I think that he in himself was willing to take a little less for the team. And I think the ownership is going to reward him with that, with some type of incentive if they make playoffs and things like that.
What'd you say, Mike?
I said I didn't read the article, but I saw something. They were saying that J.J. Watt said he loves Houston.
Well, he said he wasn't gonna hold out or anything. He just let the process go through. But like I said, I think it might have been 3 years ago Mario Williams signed with Houston. $400 million, and then think even before that, Albert Haynesworth, he had $100 million contract, and that was about 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago, when he signed with the
Redskins, $100 million man.
J.J. Watt, he's three times better than them dudes. So I don't know, but like you said, Tony, like Tony said, he might be trying to do something to save cap on him. And trying to make their team contenders, which you can't hate on a guy doing that. But, in certain situations, you should try to get as much money as possible. Maybe he's getting something extra on the back end or something like that too. He's just too good not to be getting paid, premium money. So, it's big money, but it's not super big money. And that kind of caught me off guard.
I agree.
Okay. Well, right now, anybody wants to call, our number, we're about to hit in overtime. We're going to hit up some wild subjects, but you have to be called in to listen. Number is 347-237-5539. So if you want to get in on that overtime period, call in, because that's where things can get kind of crazy. Well, it's already crazy.
Crazier.
Let's see. I want to talk about your boy – Ray McDonald. We started talking about that yesterday.
Yeah,
have have you guys heard any updates on the Ray McDonald situation?
Right now, I haven't heard any official updates anyway. They're still supposedly investigating the whole thing. You know, like I said, for me, I'm personally attached and personally involved because that's my line brother, and it's really hard for me to separate my personal knowledge of him from the legal ramifications and legal statements that have been made. But for me, it's an issue because I know the man, and I know that he is far from a violent person. Even though he is a 6'4", 6'5", defensive tackle, he is not a angry man. He is a professional. What he does there is his job. When he comes home, he can separate. I've seen him do it. And for that to have happened, I don't know. I don't know what happened. From what I'm understanding, the party got crazy. I don't know what the party got crazy means, but the party got crazy, stuff started going crazy, and people started acting crazy. And I don't know the details. I know they say things started getting out of hand, and it just got crazy.
Now, I think Tony said earlier, for those of you who don't know, Tony's line brother is with Ray McDonald, who recently was involved. He's the first player to be involved with the, to be publicly involved in the domestic violence situation since the NFL passed their new policy on domestic violence. I don't know if they're going to handle him under the old policy or the new policy, seeing that it just came out. I think he also put a picture of them on the CMT page, a picture of him and the line brothers, I think. And Ray is the big guy on the left, right?
Yes, the far left.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so if you go to the CMT page, you can see a picture of them back in their college days there. And it's always kind of tough when, you know, especially, you know, when you don't know somebody personally involved in this situation.
Do you know Ray McDonald's wife?
No, it's not even his wife. They're not even married.
Oh.
They're not even married, and that's the whole thing. It's complicated. Let me put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have seen have you guys seen Hidden Colors 3 yet? Has anybody seen that yet?
Yeah, I've seen it.
You know, it talks about a lot of trials, you know, that we go through as black men. And, you know, I'm starting to hear more and more people say that we don't have any allies, you know. You know, as black men, we don't have any allies out there. And I think it's kind of sad, you know. It's something that you're married and Clavel is married. I don't know if you're married, David, but it just goes to say sometimes, you know, we can just be put out there. You know, it's tough. I really, you know, like I said, I feel sorry for Ray. You know, dude's a millionaire right now, but I can only imagine, you know, how he feels, you know, being put in this situation. You know, when you get labeled like that, especially, you know, when you already have 3 or 4 other negative labels on you just for being born, you know, 6'5" and black and with dreads, you know. I can only imagine, you know, like I say, you know, you compound the situation, you know. And, you know, we know, you know, once we get labeled, it's hard, you know, it's hard to get those labels up on the list, you know, and that kind of sucks. Claus, I don't know if
you want to talk about that. Also, the time of this came bad because, you know, the NFL has applied the policy of the domestic, you know, policy, then 40-some hours later, you hear about his story about the domestic stupid. You know, he's talking about he can miss, you know, I think 6 games, and the second time since he, you know, he's banned for life. You know, it just happened last week, and all of a sudden this happened. So it's just, he could be the first one that could be made an example of this. That's just policy.
Well,
I mean, do you guys think this is going to change the way players date? Or I mean, hopefully it makes these guys a little bit more careful, you know, where they who they choose to allow in their lives. I mean, do you guys think this is going to stand? How do you guys think this ruling is going to affect the NFL players?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I guess players are gonna be cautious about what situations they get in with these women. You know, it's like to the point now, man. If you're a black man, you got to be a little punk, man. You can't even hit anybody back. You know, I don't know, man.
And also, too, you know, let's say even though with the gun thing, you can't, you know, as an NFL player, so let's say you get involved in that and someone's shooting at you, you can't shoot back at them, and you be in trouble, could be in some trouble. And also, yep. That's what I was going to say, also with the, you know, rest in peace, with Sean Taylor hadn't had no problem with the gun thing. That night, he would have had a gun. But then, you know, since he had problems with the gun, he couldn't have that, you know, he could have been in trouble.
I don't know that I agree with you guys on this. The reason why is because there's a certain thing called professionalism. And when you are in a professional-type career job, you have to hold yourself to a different standard than you do when you're just that nigga on the street or when you're just that person in your home and things like that. I, you know, my job, I am a public servant. When teachers are considered public servants also. And I'm a public servant. Clarvell, you're a public servant. It's one of those situations of where no matter how we feel personally, we have to conduct ourselves at a certain standard when we're in public, because whatever we do out in public can come back to harm that school. It can come back and be seen as detrimental to that school. So we don't get to just hit somebody that hits us back. We don't get to just shoot at somebody that shoots at us. We don't get to just, you know, slap somebody we think should be slapped. We don't get to just cuss somebody out that we think deserves to get cussed out. Why? Because our professional ethics says that we can't do that. And it's the same way with football players, basketball players, politicians, people like that. You have to take into account that your job is not just affecting you, it affects other people. And because it affects other people, you can't be out in public just doing anything you want to do.
That's true.
Yeah. That's a good point, Tony. I mean, but, you know, like we were talking about with Jim Irsay, isn't it kind of hypocritical for them to have standards for one person and not have the standards for the other?
They're not in the same position.
Yeah,
they're not in the same position. Jim Irsay is a billionaire, and he owned them.
And I was going to say his fine was pretty much just kind of somewhat a penny because he was only fined $500,000. That ain't nothing.
Yeah, but that's all that. What you really think they're going to do something to that man?
I mean, yeah, true on that. I'm just saying I'll break about, you know, some people saying how it's not fair compared to the other situation. I thought maybe it could have been longer than that. You know, people probably saying against it. The NFL Players Association might get involved in it, you know, all this type of stuff. And then, you know, Ray Rice, you know, had a domestic dispute, and he only gets 2 games.
Well, you know, like I say, go ahead, Tony.
I understand. All I'm saying is it's easy to personally look at this situation and say if you are a person and this person is doing this to you, you have the right to do this back. I understand that. But just because you have the right to do something back does not mean that is the right thing to do. And because it's not always the right thing to do, you have the right to defend yourself. Every human being or every American has the constitutional right of self-defense. But at the same time, your constitutional right of self-defense does not change your job's right to fire you for what you did in self-defense. So it's one of those situations of where, yes, you have your personal constitutional rights, but when you are a representative of somebody else's company, somebody else's school, somebody else's football team, somebody else's business, you have to take their business and their situation into account before you go and do your personal things. I love my brother. I love my brother. But if he put his hand on that girl, whatever he gets is what he deserves, because he knows better. He knows better than what he did. Now, personally, I don't think he did it. I think there is a true miscommunication here. I think that the cops came in and saw something and just went with what they saw instead of knowing the background to it. I truly believe that. But at the same time, if everything boils down to gravy and it turns out that he really did put his hand on that girl, then whatever comes to him, he deserves, because he is smarter than that and he knows better. So, you know, basically, exactly. All I'm saying is accountability. Accountability.
Especially now, knowing how the system is, and we just, like they said, with the new rule, and knowing how things are going on, and the whole saying, like, hey, man, and let's say, hopefully it did happen. Let's say, for example, it did, but if you knew if it was a situation like that, it was going to escalate to that. I know it's hard, but just walk away. Anytime you fail to do that, it's not worth it. Just think about it. Like you said, your future and everything on the line, just think about it, man. That's my future right there.
Now, again, you know, just like in that picture you see two UF football players. I have been around the entire team, including Chris Leak, all of them. I've been around every single one of them, and I'm telling you, the one thing I notice, and I'm going to say this personally, the one thing I've noticed, athletes, prime, top of the line, no fat on their body type of athlete, some of those guys have real issues with being able to handle alcohol. One of the reasons why, and this is a scientific reason, is because when you drink alcohol, once it gets into your system, if you don't have any fat, it has nowhere to go but into your bloodstream. When it goes into your bloodstream, it goes straight to your head, straight to your brain, and it starts manipulating you. People who are athletes, they get drunk faster, they have hangovers longer because they don't have fat that absorbs anything. All they have is muscle, so it's running through their bloodstream constantly. And some people have more resistance than others, but some of those athletes, they can drink one shot and in 3 minutes be drunk. And some of these guys, you know, just, you all know people who drink. You have your different type of drunks. You have your happy drunk. You have your crazy drunk. You have your angry drunk. You have your sleepy drunk. You have your get quiet and go to a corner drunk. You have those people who think they want to be sexy drunks. You got all types of people when they drink. And all it takes is that one angry drunk in a party to go and start something with somebody else that is an athlete. And you got to realize the one thing you have in a room full of athletes is a whole lot of egos. And ain't nobody going to let somebody else walk up to them and start talking trash. And the next thing
you know is popping. Like you said, that's a valid point. Then think about, like you said, some things, you know, especially in your position, any position, sometimes for some people, and you know, some people it's probably not good to be having liquor, being drunk, because like you said, some people can't handle it. And some people that's drunk, you definitely don't want to be around because, you know, they'd be a totally different person and outside their character. And, you know, might be one of the people that, hey, to start something, let's say, too, a person who don't drink, who never has drunk, be around that person, you won't understand the feeling. It might be offensive. It might, when they go down, start fighting that person who is drunk. It's just sometimes those type of things, like you said, it definitely has its boundaries on the alcohol, when alcohol definitely comes to play, especially when
you're
around a lot of people.
Let's take into account the circumstances of the we're at a birthday party, right? These fellas are drinking, but you got to stop and think what this weekend was. This past weekend was cut weekend, so that some of those people that were at the San Francisco 49ers football team that may have been at that party could have been cut, could have been dropped to the practice squad, could have been put on waivers. They could have had all kinds of things going on in their minds and in their lives. Then they get some alcohol in them. Next thing you know, they're angry because they got cut. They're angry because they got put on waivers. And it comes out because they've been drinking this alcohol. Before you know it, they up yelling and screaming, acting loud. And, you know, they may have said, I'm going to be honest with you, they may have said something to Ray's girl. She might have found it inappropriate. When somebody said something to his girl, she found it inappropriate, she might have clicked. Next thing you know, Ray's over there trying to calm her down. She ain't wanting to be calmed down. He might have had to have grabbed her hands or something to try to calm her down. She's still trying to fight and argue and fuss and fight and whatever. You know how women are. Next thing you know, somebody calls 911. Cops show up. They go up to her. All they see is these bruises on her arm where he was trying to restrain her from doing something crazy. And it's domestic violence because they see the bruises.
And also, too, to the spot, you never know. She might could have been going after a woman at that party. You like, girl, you did this. Oh, what, not girl? I'm going to whip your ass.
Absolutely.
That type of thing.
Absolutely. It could have been another girl she was going after, and they were breaking that up. We don't know the details behind it.
Another girl might could have been looking at him all hard or gave that look or that touch, and that girl probably said, oh, no, she didn't. And that's how the stuff could escalate.
Right, absolutely. And like I said, you get these athletes who are in prime physical condition. You get alcohol blended in, and you get women. That's a powder keg.
Let me ask you a question. I know, David, I know you're an entrepreneur. You know, I know we all have entrepreneurial minds. As situations like this come up with the NFL, you know, making new rules like this, changing the rules, you know, the situation with David Sterling in the NBA, do you guys think that this would at least maybe open up the players' mind to maybe starting their own league and making their own rules? Or do you think nothing's really going to change with professional sports the way it is?
Nothing's going to change.
Nothing's going to change. Those players, they don't have – they're players. They're not business. So their specialized skill is playing ball, not starting businesses. So, mm-hmm. you know, the work it'll take, not just on the business end, but on the political end, that it'll take to start a new league. Because, like, the NFL, they have a – and I know Tony knows exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know exactly. But they have some kind of political situation where they – you can't sue them for, like, an antitrust rule, which allows them to operate the way they operate. That takes a lot of political influence. That takes a lot of money. The players don't have the mind to be committed to that process. Their specialized skill, what they've – you know, LeBron James, his whole life has been playing basketball. That's all he knows how to do. So to take him out of that arena and say, okay, well, you got to try to start a league from the ground up, that's not who they are. Because even back when we had the Negro League, the players weren't the guys that was organizing the league. They were businessmen organizing the leagues, and the players just played. So that's the issue. Once they was able to desegregate those leagues and take that money away from the league and bring it to the major leagues, it was a wrap. You know what I'm saying? Because the players, it was a wrap. Because their specialized skill is playing football. Half them dudes can't even fucking read. You know what I'm saying? Their specialized skill is playing football, so or playing basketball or whatever. So I just think that because that's all they know how to do, I just don't see it happening anytime soon.
And I think, Tony, I think you said it yesterday about the, you know, about the commissioner. It's like the commissioner works for the owners. You know, I don't know if, you know, we know that. I don't know if the general public really realizes that. The NFL is, you know, the NFL doesn't own the teams. The teams own the NFL, basically.
you know. So
okay, but the thing is, the NFL doesn't own the NFL. Congress regulates the NFL. It is Congress, it is the United States government that actually allows the NFL to have its business license. People don't seem to understand that. All American athletic programs, including college programs, are sanctioned by the U.S. government because it is the U.S. government that grants them their business license to act. It is the U.S. government that gives the NCAA, the NFL, the MLB, all of them, their license to be professional athletic programs. And that's why when something happens, they have to have congressional investigations. Like they called Pete Rose to Washington when he had that whole scandal about betting on baseball. Why? Because
yeah.
Congress is the one that gets to decide what's going to happen to baseball.
Yeah. Now, do you think that maybe that's, like Dave was saying, do you think that maybe that they also use that political influence to suppress other leagues, kind of like the WFL or the XFL? You know, because, like I said, when the XFL came out, you know, we didn't think that it was going to be a replacement for the NFL. But, you know, to me, like I said, it wasn't that bad to me. You know, it was something to watch, you know. But it seems like, you know, whenever there's a big semi-pro league that tries to come out, it seems like it kind of gets squashed.
Well, the biggest problem with that is the idea of television sponsorship. You can start your own business. If you are a billionaire right now, Mike, you could go out and start your own football team. Why? Because anybody can start any business that they want in America. The problem is the United States Congress has already decided what they want their football team to be. It's the NFL. So when you come to Congress and you say you want television rights for this and things of that sort, Congress is not going to help you because they've already donated or dedicated themselves to the NFL. So you are going to have to do it all by yourself. And because you're going to have to do it all by yourself, all that money is coming straight out of your pocket. You're not getting the help from the federal government. People think that the television stations own themselves. That's not true. The government regulates the television stations. CBS, ABC, and NBC are regulated by the federal government. The FCC. The FCC can shut you down. The government controls everything. And the reason why the government controls, with the control of everything, they keep their hands off and let the NFL and everybody else run things. But you ever notice every single time there's a scandal or there's a problem, you hear that there's a congressional investigation. Why? Because the big brother is the government.
Oh, man, that's a, you know, and then I was just even thinking, you know, the way that they get, you know, the way they get the cities to pay for these damn stadiums, too, which, you know, which is even more.
Yes, 90% of the stadiums in the NFL are owned by the cities, which is paid for by tax dollars, which is the government of that city.
Exactly. That's both inside.
Yeah, because
very disheartening information.
People don't understand how much politics is in sports.
Just got to find a different business model.
Exactly.
I was going to say, that's how the Janet Jackson thing was, how they was regulating some of the stuff when she had the malfunction and all that type of stuff. So, you know, that was real.
Yeah, because you got to realize you got seven-year-olds watching ABC and the Super Bowl, and then she goes and does something like that on national television. Congress got a problem with that. That will never happen again. Now you see the Bee Gees and the Beatles and all these 1970s groups doing the Super Bowl.
Do you think maybe that's one of the things that's holding up professional sports from expanding overseas?
Yeah, I mean, we see it in basketball, and Terry Aaron said he thinks baseball is going to be like that. I had heard him talking last week on his YouTube thing. He said baseball said it's in the right direction. He said, years is going. It's like we're going to be playing, instead of World Series, we're going to be playing teams international. But football, no. Football is America's sport. It needs to stay in America. It was my first time cursing tonight, but it pissed me off. And we're going to try to globalize the NFL. NFL is not a global sport. It's America's sport.
Well, they already had NFL Europe, and then what a lot of people don't know is, it was actually working. They just closed it, you know. It was very NFL Europe was very popular over there. And what a lot of people don't know is a lot of European cities actually have their own football. They're still American. There's American football leagues still in Europe. They're just not, NFL sanctioned. But a lot of cities have their own football teams that, that can pay players and everything. And they actually play American-style football in stadiums.
It's no different than soccer in America. I mean, football is football. You can't sanction the sport. I mean, the actual sport, that's just like if I want to go take a soccer ball and go in my backyard and me and my friends play soccer, you can't sanction that. If they want to get together in Europe and play football, you can't sanction that. It's a sport. Anywhere you want to play, you can play.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think maybe that's one of the reasons why the full support isn't being thrown over to overseas because they can't have the same control over, over the regulations that they can have over it if it stays completely here?
I really can't say that. I can tell you the owners definitely want to do it because it's all about that money.
Exactly.
Now, I guarantee you the owners want to do it, and, that's why they have that one game every year in London, is because I really think they're still working on it and trying to figure it out. But like I said, it ain't about the sports. It ain't about the owners. It's about the politics.
Yeah. I'm going to say about this show. We kind of was talking about a bit not too long ago. I wonder how, the owners feel and I guess the Player Association feel about the ruling of Jim Irsay.
I don't know, but,
I haven't heard him say anything.
The biggest issue that's political with this moving to Europe is probably the television rights, because America does not control television rights. So because they don't control the European television rights, the whole splitting of the money and how the owners get their piece and how the government gets its piece and taxes and all of that kind of stuff is probably the big thing that is keeping it from having already gone forward. I guarantee you it's probably the television rights that is making this be taken as long as it's taken right now. It's how they are going to be able to divide up that money to where everybody's happy, including the European government and the American government.
And the television rights, people be sleeping on television rights, man. That brings a big boom to the sport. The billions of dollars they have, I think CBS has signed their extension with the NFL not too long ago. I was saying, I think, of course, I know ESPN now is going to carry the college football games, and they spend some billions for that. They're going to have that for a good run. So, it's serious. The networks ain't getting that money. Hey, it's definitely going to be a problem.
The thing about the government is, as long as as they can tax it, they're going to make it legal. That's just like marijuana. You can best believe in the next 20 years, there will be a law put on the books to where marijuana will become legal in the United States of America. I mean, why? Because all of these states are doing it individually, and I think they said you got to have three-fifths of the states to have made it legal in the states for you to be able to make it a national referendum to make it a federal law. So that's what's happening right now is all of these states are trying to do it individually so that you can get enough states to legalize it for them to put it on the national ballot. And there's going to be a presidential election coming up in the next 3 or 4 elections, I guarantee it, which would be the next 12 to 16 years. And I promise you, on that election year for president, which is a national election, they're going to have cannabis, the legalization of marijuana, on the ballot, and it's going to be a yes or no vote.
You think it's great? I say it might take between 10 years.
I really don't know, but I can see it coming down the pipe without a doubt. You can see that train moving already.
Yeah. I might be wrong. Could be another 5 years. Well, if here comes the next president, might imply that.
Yeah, you can see the train moving already. I mean, that's why all these states are individually passing these laws.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look at what's going on in, well, shit, I wish Eric was on here. But look what's going on in Denver, Colorado.
Yeah, you can smoke weed at the Colorado Stadium. I think, who did say that? I think,
Florida's voting on it this coming November.
Well, you know, it's like me.
Matt said that in Colorado.
I'm not a big proponent of drugs, but, you know, like I said, I've been to Amsterdam and places like that where, you know, drugs are legal, and, you know, it wasn't a madhouse, so, you know, I guess it's all in, you know, maybe if they regulate it, they could probably, you know, get rid of some of the adverse effects of it, you know. I mean, who knows?
I don't know. You got to realize marijuana has been legal in America before. It wasn't called marijuana back then. It was called hemp.
Yeah.
And if you look back in the history of America, hemp was legal once. I guess since we're in overtime, I can be honest with it. But one of the main reasons why hemp stopped being legal is because Mexicans in New Mexico and the South and the Mexican border were making more money than the government was. And when those guys were making more money, the Mexicans were making more money than the Americans had problems.
I believe that. That's like,
they didn't want that. Like, whoa, y'all coming over there
making
that.
That's just like in the 80s, you know, when Pablo Escobar was making all that money from cocaine, and they finally, you know, and they decided to start cracking down on him. You know, once he became the richest man in the world.
I mean, all you got to do is look at the history of hemp in America. It's the truth. In the Southwest, the states bordering Mexico, the hemp production was so large, and the Mexicans were making more money than the Americans, so the Americans went and made it illegal.
Yeah. I didn't know that, though, bro. That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, whatever they do to control the money, I mean, you look at, go back to Prohibition, you know, that's why they, you know, that's why they made alcohol legal again, because the gangsters started making all the money, you know.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and they, you know, and they weren't taxing any of that shit. So, you know, next thing you know, alcohol is legal again. Back in the day, they was making, you know, thousands of dollars a day, which back then was equal to millions of dollars now, you know. Just off of selling
food. It's the same way when they brought all the Chinese in from China into California to mine gold. Next thing you know, you were getting rich Chinese people and people starting their own communities, Chinese communities wanting their rights and this, that, the other. Next thing you know, they shut that down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's pretty, I don't know, man. Like I said, our government, I don't know. I don't want to get into too much how I really feel about our government. I'm starting my belief in our government gets less and less, you know, every day, every time I hear some more information about it. Any other topics you guys want to bring up while we're in overtime?
Yeah, I want to bring up why Clausell is ducking and dodging this issue of how Florida State sucked this week.
Oh, I'm not ducking and dodging that, man. Oh, my niggas is this, man. 370 yards.
No, nigga, no.
No, I'm not a nigga. Please don't call me that. But my thing is this.
I didn't call you a nigga. I called you a nigga.
Whatever. But this is my thing. 370 yards, and he did it in a bad game. So that should tell you the greatness of Jameis Winston.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
Oh, yes. And the thing is, and the thing I liked about Jameis, he made the play to put the game away. And did he not?
Oh, my goodness.
He made the play. And that's the thing about Jameis Winston. Can he make all the throws? Yes. Is he accurate? Was he accurate on Saturday? No. Can he make all the throws? He still completed more than 50% of his passes. And that's a considerable
pass. Okay, they were all
but
3 yard
passes. I'm not done talking yet. And the thing is, when the game was on the line, did he deliver? Did he make the play to seal the game?
Yeah, running down
did.
The field looking like Mr. Duckworth.
Whatever. How can you see a dude that weighs that much can move like that and that tall?
Oh, my God.
I'm like, come on, man. I mean, I really wish he would lose some weight so they can run some more because, this dude was a 1,000-yard rusher in high school. So, I mean, the dude has it. The dude is big time, man. The dude is big time. He just had a bad game on Saturday to his standards, you know. But I expect them – I still expect Florida State to win all the games. I still think Jameis Winston will be a superstar in the NFL.
I got you on notice, Clausell. Halloween Horror Night. FSU is going to lose to Louisville on Halloween night in Louisville. Mark your calendar.
I'm marking it down. And you really believe that crap, too.
I really believe it.
I don't know how, after one game. I don't see how you believe that mess.
Why?
I want everybody else to realize we had a pretty historic event last weekend. We had the first inaugural CMT fantasy football draft, and Clausell Mathis had the first pick, and somehow he managed to turn that pick into a team full of Alabama posers. And I want to know, Clausell, how are you able to do that?
Well, I mean, I'm predicting that this year the NFL, the Alabama players will be looking like the Miami players that came into the league. I expect a big year.
Oh, Dave, did you hear that?
I expect a big year. I expect a big year out of Trent Richard.
He says that every year, though.
No, I don't. I never said that before. That's not true. And
you never said that they were going to have a big year. Don't every year you say the guy's going to have a big year this year?
Who, Mark Ingram?
Any of them.
Trent Richardson? I never said that
any
last
of
year.
Them.
I said
so no, you never said
I
that
expect,
Trent Richardson was going to have a good year?
I said that
earlier in the offseason this year, coming up for this year.
So, when the dude that played safety for the Bucks, when he was coming into the league, you didn't say that. He was going to be a good safety. You compared him to Ed Reed.
I did compare him to Ed Reed.
Okay. How did that turn out?
He's not Ed Reed.
Okay.
No, I know. I said the college. No, hold on. I compared him to Ed Reed in college. The college version.
He wasn't Ed Reed in college.
Hey, he's a three-time All-American, and Ed Reed's a three-time All-American. Okay, I'll give you Ed Reed. Ed Reed was better than him. But I just say by the fact that he
that's
was a three-time
not even,
All-American.
That's no decision. You also compared
you also compare Dean Milner to Darrell Revis.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I did not say he. I said he was Namdi. I compared him to Namdi. That's who I compared him to. That's what I'm talking about, man. He had a good final few games. I think he's going to still be a pretty good player.
He started off
slow, and he ended up coming off pretty strong at the end of the year.
Okay, the question is this. When Namdi was at in his career right now, is he there?
When Namdi was in his prime, is he there? Is that what you're saying?
No. When Namdi, I don't know. I think Dean Miller is in his second year, right?
He's going into his second year.
So when Namdi was at going into his second year, is that where Dean Miller is at right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're lying your ass off.
Okay.
No,
I'm
not.
I watch football, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real problem.
Well, let's see if he does in his second year what Namdi did in his second year.
Okay.
We'll see that.
I love this Alabama Miami fight. This is a good one.
Namdi didn't go to Miami. I'm just saying. My thing is that. No disrespect to Clausell, but with the Alabama guys, he always says, well, this is going to be their year, or they're going to turn it around this year. So, like, the dude that plays running back for New Orleans has been elite, like, at least 4 years. To me, he averaged at best. Trent Richardson is average at best. You know, so if they ever going to turn it, you only got so many years to play running back in the NFL before they get rid of you. So,
exactly.
you got to show something before you're 26, 27 years old. They're going to just get your ass up out of them.
Are they got rid of them yet?
Are they 26, 27?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, I'm saying, you got about that long to show something.
I'll say this, though. It's a make or break for Trent. They say he was looking up all right with the Colts. So we'll see what he does, fitting there.
He's still on his rookie deal. The way they got these things set up now, the way Trent, he's still on his 4-year deal, so he's good until his rookie deal's over. Now, after that, we got to see what they do with him.
True. I say this, though. He's a rival. That boy is good. He's going to be tough. He's a rock. Your boy Eddie Lacy, man. He's bad. I mean, Clausell like his Bama guys, but Eddie Lacy like he's going to be like something, special, man.
Eddie is a top three back.
If Aaron Rodgers touches football, he don't touch the football.
Eddie Lacy is a good running back, but he has the benefit of playing with Aaron Rodgers. He's a good running back. He's no Edgerrin James. I mean, you remember Ryan Grant was good when he was the running back of the Packers. And look where his career is now. So. A good quarterback can make an average running back look good.
He's pretty good, though.
Yeah, he do his thing. He better than Trent Richardson or the dude from New Orleans. He better than him. At least he starts.
How you draft two players that don't start, dog? Come on, man. Trent Richardson starts. And Mark Ingram starting for the Saints this year.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is. They got rid of
Sproles.
They got rid of Sproles. Yep.
Let's see how long he stay out there, though.
Yeah, let's see. We're going to see.
About five minutes.
Because
if you don't do it, Sean Payton, he'll put it back on the bench in a minute.
This should be interesting. I don't even pay attention to that whole Alabama thing, but I guess I'm going to have to pay more attention to it.
I mean, I don't know. Besides Julio Jones, who are you paying attention to?
I mean, y'all talking about all these Alabama running backs and stuff. I really didn't even notice, honestly. So I guess I'm gonna have to
tell him right now.
You know, we know it'll be a little nice here because of Eddie Lacy. We see what he does in the second year.
I'm telling you, if Aaron Rodgers healthy, Eddie Lacy ain't gonna really touch the football. He touched the ball so much last year because Aaron Rodgers was out.
Exactly.
Because that's Aaron Rodgers' offense. That's Aaron Rodgers' offense. So you know, Aaron Rodgers ain't gonna sit there and hand the ball up to no back 25 times a game. That's not what he does.
But it's just one of those games we got to grind it out when it gets so damn cold out there. He ain't going to be passing like that as much, though, either, though.
I mean, that's where you're going to play. Eddie Lacy out there for short yardage. That's what he out there for.
He out there for those inside the 5-yard line plays.
Short yardage. You know what I'm saying? That's Aaron Rodgers' offense. That ain't Eddie Lacy offense.
He's just part of the puzzle, though, but Aaron Rodgers, thankfully, he got like a little, you know, another safety blanket having a running back like Lacy, though.
That's funny. I can't argue because I couldn't name you three UF players, offensive players in the NFL right now, honestly. I couldn't, but I can tell you this. The best running back in the history of the NFL came from UF.
What's up, Mike?
He didn't come from Alabama. He didn't come from USC. He didn't come from Miami. He came from the University of Florida.
Barry Sanders went to Oklahoma State, Tony.
No. We're talking about
the
real man. Emmitt Smith.
We're talking about the
best running back in the history of the NFL.
Jim Brown went to Syracuse.
Hey, look at the numbers. Numbers don't lie. Go on into the Hall of Fame and see who
is the best running back in the history of the NFL. Walter Payton went to Jackson State.
Like I said, go to the Hall of Fame and ask them who they say is the best quarterback in the NFL.
They're going to say Jim Brown.
No, they're going to say Emmitt Smith.
Yeah. He got the record, though, man.
Thank you.
He got the record.
That makes him the best.
Okay, hold on.
Let me
ask you this question, Tony. As a Florida alumni, if you could take O.J., Barry Sanders, Walter Payton, or Jim Brown, or Emmitt Smith, you mean to tell me you're going to take Emmitt Smith out of those five?
When it comes to what I know now in hindsight?
Nah. If you have to pick a running back for your team, is he going to be your first pick out of those five?
No, he would not be my first pick. But in hindsight knowing, absolutely he'd be my first pick.
In hindsight knowing?
Because he's achieved more than all the rest of them have.
Okay, yes, we're talking about hindsight. Yes, right now. We're talking about right now, after everything you know about all those players, you mean to tell me you're going to pick
him? In hindsight, knowing their stats and knowing how they finished, yes, I would take Emmitt Smith. Why would I take Emmitt Smith? Because he is the best running back in the history of the league.
How many 2,000-yard seasons did he have?
Who is the best running back in the history of the NFL? Emmitt Smith.
Based on what?
Based on his statistics. Look it up.
You don't care about that. All you care about is winning.
I'm telling you what the Hall of Fame says.
And he won, so you can't say that.
So now you care about stats all of a sudden.
No, I said if you wanted to talk about all these Alabamas and all this stuff, I got a man from Florida that the Hall of Fame says is the best running back in the history of running backs. It's that simple.
Yeah. Barry Sanders.
Barry was that. He didn't want to quit. He didn't want Barry Sanders to quit after having ESPN primetime and having a highlight. It was because of him. If it wasn't for him,
but,
I don't know if he had primetime.
Now, Callie, if you want to say who would I have picked in their prime at that time, I'm going to be honest with you. I'd have picked O.J. Simpson.
I don't care about what the hell happened
to him after he got married and got old. When O.J. Simpson was in the league, that boy was bad.
And he's better than Emmitt Smith.
No, I can't give you that.
That's because you're worried about stats.
No, I'm telling you.
Okay, hold on. Let me rephrase it because we only got a couple of minutes left. What aspect of Emmitt Smith's game is better than any of those players?
His total game.
Damn.
Hey, he's off.
When you go on YouTube, but you want to look up football highlights, you're going to go to Barry Sanders, you're going to go to Jim Brown, you're going to go
I'm
to
I'm not
OJ.
Talking about highlights. I didn't say
you're
he was
go,
one of those
nobody,
people.
Nobody.
You can sit around and he entertained you. He didn't have to entertain you. He got the job done.
Okay, let me ask you this question. And did Emmitt Smith play behind great, arguably the greatest offensive line of all time?
I don't care about all of that. Did Emmitt Smith break all the records?
No.
Yes. And because he did, he is the greatest running back in history. I don't care if he did it 2 yards at a time. He did
so,
it.
So according to you, Peyton Manning is
and
the greatest
played,
quarterback.
And he played with a broken rib that game in Christmas. Well,
okay.
According
to you, Tony, Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback in history then, right?
If at the end of his career he has broken all the other quarterbacks' records,
yeah, he's already broken the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. Yes, he's already done it, yes.
Okay, well, then when he retires, yes, he is the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL.
This is why I don't mess with Tony Wiley, man.
All right,
this is the same cat who said on this show hundreds of times that Peyton Manning sucks. Now all of a sudden,
I can't
stand
Peyton Manning. I tell you, but I can't deny the man's greatness.
How can he suck and be great at the same time?
I would not. I personally can't stand him. I wouldn't put him in on a fourth quarter, and I needed to win the game because he falls every time. But as far as from the start of the game to the fourth quarter, that man might get you 700 yards. It's just he falls under pressure. When the game gets on the line, he blows it. But you can't see that in a stat, and you won't remember that 50 years from now. But the people who live with Peyton Manning will remember that every time he got into that tight game against that good opponent, he blew it every time.
Yeah, because his playoff record's not that good. I mean, he's like, he got a little more losses than wins. I mean, Tony's got a valid point on that part in some big games. In pressure moments,
I've been following Peyton Manning since he was a freshman at the University of Tennessee.
Yeah. Okay, look, we got to wrap things up because we're out of time. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set up a poll. I'm going to set up a poll on the CMT page. I want everybody to come and vote. I'm going to set up the top five running backs, top five quarterbacks, and the top five wide receivers. Because I think, David, you also had some different views about Randy Moss as being the number two receiver of all time, right?
Oh, hell yeah. Number two receiver of all time is Terrell Owens.
Okay, so I want
to – That's not an argument right there. That's not an argument.
Okay, so I'm gonna set up those polls on the CMT page. I want everybody to come in and vote, and then we'll discuss the results on our next show. But right now I want to wrap things up. I want to thank everybody for coming out. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for calling in, and we will get back to you next week.
here at CMT Firestorm. All right, everybody. Y'all have
all right, fellas.
All right, everybody. Week one NFL, baby.